Well, let's move on to get this thing rolling and rocking. The Deer Springs newsletter that we're going to put in with the billing that's going out. I have not completed my president's message.
I have my letter for you, Linda, and I'll send it with Larry.
Great.
I do not have a printer at my house, or I have a printer, but it's not connected to our computer, so I have handwritten it. Would you like me to send it to my wife and have it typed and brought back, or should I just give it to you and you can type it for the newsletter?
Actually, what would be wonderful if you could send it to your wife and have her type it and send it to Vance, because Vance has volunteered or been told, or whatever, however you called it, Vance, I can't remember, to do the newsletter,
yeah.
So he's going to compile it.
So how soon does that need to be done?
Today. Send an email to Vance with
the... Well, because, see, I can't email it because it's handwritten. I'd have to snail mail it.
Can you give it to me?
Or I can give it to Scott Foster, and he'll type it, and that problem has just been solved.
There you go.
What a delightful creature you are.
Okay, so this is coming from Scott.
Scott Foster.
You got some goat milk coming for that.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? She has to go to Colorado City to buy goat milk, and I got 500 goats.
Thank you, Scott.
No problem.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't realize it was 15 pages long.
Actually, written longer.
I thought about that. No.
You have to crack the spell, even a bunch of ages.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing any of that.
Okay.
It's written by old.
John, do you have a cabin reservation changes?
I submitted that to Linda already.
Okay.
Linda, is that all right with you, what I submitted?
Yes.
Okay. And Taylor, did you write something up on committee?
Yeah. This is kind of what I had. I was going to put in a flyer, but maybe I feel this is kind of what I was going to do, something real simple.
That'll work.
More like a wanted poster.
My letter was just going to talk about, from all the members, we don't need any more of their crap, but we don't need the poo-poo, we need the pee-pee. Patience and participation.
Put up or shut up.
Pretty much, yeah.
And your money.
Well, they can participate. Patience and participation. You know, things are not going to happen overnight unless they get there and make a change overnight. They can participate financially, physically, labor, you know, something, not just
a phone call. Yours will go good with this, too, what you're saying. You know, I thought about being that way in this, but I thought, well, I won't keep it. I'll keep it.
Social.
Positive.
So
that leads in good
with
this one then.
Okay, so we got Taylor's and John's and Scott will do always. Do you know if Brent submitted something to you, Linda, yet?
No.
He will. He'll never miss an opportunity to show his writing.
And you all saw mine. The only question there was who to contact for results of that.
Results of?
The request for funding. You know, what should they do?
That's what
who should they contact?
I got my name on my app. I don't want to. Who's up for the contact? Well, you. I'd like to sign up to be the contact.
Yeah. We want results on that one. So who do they contact?
I put your name on it.
Well, I thought you were doing that because you were the committee.
Yeah, you're the housing committee.
I won't be home.
We'll have them email you.
Who's going to call? Email will be fine.
Email is what they should do.
Hey, Dustin?
Yeah.
Why don't you just create another Gmail account and call it Ranch House Results and, you know, pass out password for it to a couple of us so we could kind of keep up on it.
I could do that.
Now, some people will not want to use that and they'll want to reply by mail, so you got to cover that bridge, too.
Yeah, where is it going to go to?
If it's mailed in, it should come to the Deer Springs box.
So we'll put it, just go ahead and, since you're compiling this anyways and you've seen what I sent, just go ahead and assume it's that email. Send me the name of the email and I'll create it. And then put in as an alternative the
box.
Okay, hang on a second. Dustin, which email are you talking about?
To the one you just mentioned.
So we'll just create one.
I'll just create one.
Right? Okay. Well, just let me know what it is, and I'll insert it.
Just assume it's the whatever you said it was.
Deer Springs results.
Okay. Funding results or something?
Yeah, whatever you want to make it, just let me know. Just send me an email.
I will do that.
And then do we want to put a phone number, though?
I don't know, Linda. You want to be driven crazy or not?
Because there could be people that don't want to send emails, and there are, I'm sure there is a contingent, and there are people that don't want to mail anything.
You can put the branch phone number. That's fine. I think they'll find that if they. I mean, the branch phone number is on, you know, on all the information.
But we want to put something specific at the end of this to say, please contact, because we want results on this. We want people to know what people think. Because if everybody overwhelmingly says, I don't want to do this, we need to know.
And put the ranch phone number.
Okay.
We may want to also divide up the ranch membership like we did once before and really didn't follow through with, where every board member's got
some people to call.
A section from A to J and J to whatever.
I can send that out again. I've got record of that split.
Okay.
And you want me to do that?
Everybody think that's reasonable? I didn't see anything, anybody edit that or give any comments about what should be changed about that or anything. So I'm assuming that's fine with everybody. Right?
Works for me. Okay. Well, just about every member that drops by the ranch house says something like, oh, I thought we had a new ranch house by now. Are you still living here? We're really sorry. And they're quite verbal about it, and they may be just doing me lip service because I'm standing in front of them. But if they genuinely feel that way, then they should be pretty easy to talk to.
Well, and
many
and
of them are still.
And I outlined it fairly clearly, and in fact edited it so that we didn't give them an option of we're going to spend the little minimum.
I tell them
and
all.
The issue is either we split it up in half and half, and we have a small assessment, we have a big assessment, or we have no assessment, and we just add it to the
general budget.
To the general budget, and the general budget either gets a little bit bigger or we cut things. And that's up to us.
My feeling has been, and I have told the membership, I'm past feeling on the subject. I don't even have an opinion on the subject. My family has abandoned me. The ranch lied to me. I lay in the street at night wailing.
No hot water.
If there is a house.
You got no hot water, too.
If the house shows up, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't care about the size. I don't care about the dimension. But my family cannot return to the ranch until they have a place to live. And so all those decisions, and it's a ranch asset, and it will serve the ranch for the next billion years, so it's really not a decision I should be involved with. I'd be grateful to have a place to live. Hot water right now would be just charming, but the, we're camping, have been camping for the last however long. So I hope you move quickly on it. The fact is, all those chores to run the petting zoo and to have it be the little place that people like to come to require children to do chores. I mean, I do chores 2.5 hours a day. By the time you feed all the little chickens and pigs and critters and horses and goats, it takes a good smack out of the day and it has to be done twice a day. So having my family, which are free employees, I mean, other than that I run them, is a tremendous asset to the ranch. We had 12 people working there this summer most of the time, plus the people that I hire, plus Linda that was there. And when there's no place for them to live, they go away, and I can't convince them to stay. I mean, the ranch made a commitment to my wife. We'll have a house by September. I realize it didn't happen, but she was good to her word, too. She left shortly thereafter. And I promised her I would not make her camp through the winter again at Deer Springs Ranch another year, and I just won't ask her to come down and freeze with me. So I hope, if the membership listening on these minutes, that you understand it's a tremendous benefit to the ranch to have a family. I mean, when they interviewed me for the job, they said, we're not looking for a couple. We've had those. We're not looking for an individual. We've had those. We're looking for a family. That's the understanding we came on. It didn't come to fruition. I blame no one, but the entire ranch should consider the fact that if they earnestly want changes at that ranch in an environment that is a family homestead ranching situation, they're going to have to make some small personal sacrifice to get it to come to fruition.
Thank you.
Are the chickens eating the wheat?
I think they're a little sick of it.
How long should we wait after we send out the newsletter before we send out a?
I think we need to set
a special
vote request.
March.
We should.
I think we could set the date.
I think it'll go clear to March.
No,
I think 1 month.
I think 1 month.
Should be
I think
plenty of time.
We could actually set the date for the special meeting once notices have been sent out and they're notified and people have followed up, made phone calls. You know, all we have to do as board members, if we're assigned a list of names to call and we have the numbers or emails to contact, we can do that. And then the membership's been notified, we can have our meeting.
The longer you give people, the less chance you're going to get a response back.
So we're going to send out the newsletter when?
A month.
What day? When are we going to do that? Monday or Tuesday? Monday, so very quickly. So if we're going to send out the newsletter this month.
Put Merry Christmas on advance.
What?
Put Merry Christmas on it.
Well, if it shows up before, then I will, yeah.
I think that the February meeting should be.
You've got to make people notified.
If I got something to do,
a special meeting for that, don't you think? But that means we're going to have to send out a request by February 1st, or I don't know what the lead time we do for those, for a written ballot or whatever.
You have to have, I think it's a month. I could bylaws back out. Should know all the questions.
Yeah. Should we do that?
I need to give about a month's notice.
So should we send out a request February 1st or, end of January?
We could be having a special election.
And to have the special
first
election
part of March,
in
March.
First part of March, end of February, something like that.
Barbara's pretty good on all the dates because even in our bylaws, the dates that we have in there are not really practical. The daily limit that we have to send something out and get it back by law and what's written is not practical to really get it out there, give them a chance to read it,
and then
bring
it back
in.
So, should we figure by the March meeting?
Yeah.
And if we put it out the 1st of February?
We're putting it out now, aren't we? Putting it out with
No. This is a
vote.
How do you want to fund it? This is your chance to tell us how you want to fund it, or if you really want it at all. You know, that's the third unnamed option there. Okay, but it's how you want to fund it. Give us an idea on how you want to fund it. Do you want to do a special assessment? Do you want to do it as half and half? So it's half a special assessment and half a loan, or a big loan.
How do you want to fund it? I don't think we need to give anyone that much time to figure out how they want to fund it.
Well,
I mean, how would you want to fund it? How would you want to fund it?
I go half and half.
Sorry.
Because I could take the special assessment.
How much time do you need to decide how you want to fund it?
As soon as you open that letter up, you're going to decide. Most people. I mean, some people
that's
want to make a phone call or talk to somebody.
When do you want to send the ballot is the question. And then when do we want to set the vote?
We may have some responses back. If this goes out here this next week, it's going to get to people before Christmas, we're going to have some input and responses back prior to our January meeting.
I'll tell you about that. We need to set a deadline on.
We need to set a deadline
when people have got to respond by.
Yeah. I didn't put that in there because I didn't know how we wanted to decide on what we want to do that. But
the longer you give people, in my mind, less you're going to get response back.
So maybe at the end of this, we put in, please respond by what date?
Your response is needed, sir.
Your response is needed by.
Don't give them a choice. You say, your response is needed.
Needed by what date? Then we go and send out the ballot.
Can we include the ballot in the...
Yeah, let's just put the ballot in. I agree.
It's too early because we still have to
sell
this. Okay.
I think we could say
there
we need your responses
people
by January 10th. We would have them prior to the January meeting.
Before you can have a ballot go out, you got to have it advertised too.
We still have
it's
to
like,
sell
it's
this,
like a general,
and this is
the
last.
Thing as a general meeting.
That's right.
Except it's not. You're not meeting.
Because we're changing the bylaws, which means we need a fairly significant vote. So we have to sell this first.
And if we don't sell it, it will not succeed. So
we need to put Ollie's, the thing that Ollie just said now that's of record on there. That Vance Yadik just typed that off and put that on there as part of Ollie's thing to the newsletter.
You mean Ollie's ultimatum?
What he just said, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. What Dustin put together, you know, I've seen it, you know, back to him. I like that.
80% of it. I just modified it.
Yeah, no, I know, but I like it. You can go over the top with things real easy, and
okay.
We don't want to do that.
Okay.
I agree. I think only message I need to be cut up. I don't think most of the members even realized that there was some agreements made with Foley on housing.
Right. That's what my thinking was.
I think that issue.
Where's your new house? We thought we'd build a new house.
I think that issue should be covered in the president's message. Because it was a responsibility of the board. This was promises made by the board. We should outline that and say, this is an important topic. We need to talk about it. That's an important thing. So
see the other article for more details.
That's right. And then we're going to talk about the details. And because people want to know the details. And the reason why I think we have to sell it first is if we don't, we won't get any votes. So we have to put out the newsletter, have people digest it, look at it, get the results back on how they want to fund it, if not. And then after that, we do a vote. But then we need to set a date when we're going to send out ballots and when we're going to do a meeting.
At least 20 days, not more than 45 days.
Okay.
For notice of special meeting.
So what date do we want to send out ballots? And the issue is we're going to have to collect information based upon the information we get back from membership is how we're going to word that ballot, because that ballot has to say, is it going to be an assessment or is it going to not be an assessment or is it going to be happening?
Where are there alternatives? Wherever they come up.
But it has to be one issue.
It's got
to be one issue. We have to say one thing. So we need to take the information we get from the newsletter, and whatever response back we get, based upon that, we craft the ballot based upon that.
And what the board feels. You know, I mean, they're actually supposed to be representing, you know, all the members of the association anyway. So.
Yeah. So. That's why I felt it was important that we had to get that out first, that people, A, have an idea of what it costs, B, have an idea of how we're going to fund it, and then get that input back to us. And then based upon that, we can craft the ballot. But what is our date for when we're going to put the ballot out?
I'd say 15th of January.
January.
Middle of January.
Is that too soon?
After the January meeting.
I think that would be fine.
I think we could finalize it at our January meeting.
Okay.
Before I can do it.
All right. So let's finalize the details at the January meeting. And those that are not going to be here, are they going to maybe even be able to call in for a little bit of it so we can get that info on there?
I don't think we will be able to.
I think possibly.
Okay. So we'll finalize it at the January meeting, and then we'll put it out right afterwards.
Okay. So you're saying response by the 15th you would like?
Yes.
Okay.
Give it 2 days before the 15th because the meeting is the meeting's the 19th, right? Yeah, the
meeting's the 19th.
Yeah, and if people want to respond at the meeting, they can do that too.
But yeah, you're just going to have this
before the next meeting.
Yeah, well, you have the stack of papers there or the results of counting them, and then you'll accept up to the last minute in person.
Yeah, and so if you could just at the end, Vance, just put in, please contact with this contact information. By the 15th, we need your information so we can put out the ballot by then.
And I'm writing it down. Our ballots back by the February meeting. Our deadline for the ballots to be returned would be February meeting.
I think we need to have a general meeting. Turn that February meeting to a general meeting.
Okay.
People can come and vote personally, or they can have a ballot sent by then. Same thing.
September
meeting.
Okay,
well,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Can we do that? We if we put it out right after the January meeting, like the Monday afterwards.
So let's maybe
we mail them out on Monday.
Maybe get the library like that.
Well, in February, let's have it at Kanab.
Yeah.
Let's have it at the Kanab Express if we can.
The hotel will be big enough for that.
Yeah. I would think that we need to do that.
It opens up for, you know, invite people to come.
Yeah.
They still got questions.
There you go.
Before they actually vote, they can still have their questions answered there.
The vote would be tallied. And the
now, the other thing we would need to do is we would need to... If we're figuring a budget of, and I put in the thing, I guesstimated that if I figured based upon... Since we're going to do with a smaller place on a basement, about $150,000, we need to come up with the bank information.
I'm going to check out for a minute, guys. I got to call my daughter.
Okay. What the cost?
Be back in.
So we can inform everybody at that meeting, because that's an important thing that people are going to say is how much is it going to cost per month or whatever. What impact is that going to have to our budget?
Budget. That's kind of what I was thinking. Is something that personally, if it was me, I would want to know before I choose how I want to fund it, how much it's going to cost. Because if it's not going to cost much, I would be more willing to pay the money up front and not have to take a loan.
Yeah.
It's going to
cost a lot more money than...
And I guesstimated about $150,000, I think.
Can I jump in for a sec, Dustin?
Sure.
Somebody, you know, and I hate to be kind of a drudge on the finer points of this thing, but has anybody talked to the bank about whether they're going to fly with this? I mean, don't forget, you know, mortgages are severely screwed up right now.
No problem.
Okay, fair enough.
We got collateral.
A couple of $1 million worth of.
I totally understand that, but you know, I'm not. I haven't ever laid it out in front of a loan officer to see what they think about all that.
Nothing on term. I foresee no problem at all.
Okay, good.
And even better if we can get the membership to say we want to do it half and half, where you do an assessment and we only pay for half of it, then the loan will only be at $75,000.
Sure, understood.
I still have Matt co-signed for it.
Yeah, right.
And we've also had two or three different members offer to be the bank rather than going to a bank.
And that might work too. And especially if the amount is smaller, we have a better chance of being able to do that and come up with money from donations or whatever, because I'm sure maybe people will...
I wouldn't count on donations or anything until we...
No, don't...
Neither, but we need to know what the amount is.
The donations...
Right.
Let's get the vote in before we decide where we have to go.
Things that we might not be able to cover.
But either way, we have to change the bylaws. And I put it in there that in case people have an issue with it, that this is for a one-time purpose. So the bylaws don't change in terms of what we normally would be limited to. It only changes for this
one
specific purpose. That's it.
Well, it's not even a bylaw change. It's everyone's voting on it. Correct.
Right. It's just written into the bylaws that people need to approve it.
Yes.
Right.
I don't think we need to rewrite the bylaws. Let's not open that box.
No.
I could just leave that $30,000 alone.
Yeah,
you can't even get a house or you just feel like you have $30,000.
This is a one-time thing. And I put in there that it's a one-time thing.
It's a special election for this one
For this one item. Issue, an item. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's really kind of how I put that in.
All right, Dustin, we kind of got spread out again, but if you just send me a quick email with your decisions on dates and stuff, I'll integrate it.
Go and loan. They can go borrow. Whatever they choose to borrow.
Yeah, separately. Yeah.
So I'd like to see that $3,000 for the board to stay intact.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in a sense, if the membership approves this, $150,000 loan.
This is
so
a separate
sense,
loan.
So
absolutely.
In a sense, the loan is meant to be up to $180,000.
Yeah. No, I agree with
but,
that.
You know, the home loan is different.
Yes. And I put it in there that this is a one-time
special
thing. This is a special thing.
Yeah.
If you guys have read it, that's really how I worded it. So, okay, let me go back real quick and review on the newsletter. John Southwick's information has been turned into Linda, but she has not sent it on to Vance yet. Is that right, Vance?
I haven't seen it as of right now.
No.
Hey, I'm just trying to keep track of.
Linda's back on. Linda, you back?
Are you back on, Linda?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You have John Southwick's cabin reservation change document, right? I'm just trying to keep track of who has which paperwork and how we're getting it all to Vance so he can compile it all and then get it back to us to print.
I have John Southwick's what?
his cabin reservation changes.
Oh, the change of it? Yes, I do, and I'll forward it to Vance if you need me to.
Yeah, sure, I can start. I can start dumping it into columns anytime.
Okay.
Now, the cabin reservation changes is AKA linen changes?
Yes.
Okay.
And Taylor, you can send your stuff to Vance.
I thought it was all done. I was
going to
make up a little flyer.
Put them in.
Because it's not done, I'll just...
If you want to send it to Vance, email it to him. Then if it's, he can format it all so that it all fits on certain pages.
I can do whatever.
And then we'll get, Scott will do Ole's letter and email it to Vance.
Yeah, I'll just email. Hey, Vance.
Yeah.
You want it in the form of a Word document or just...
Doesn't matter. I got converters up the wazoo.
Okay, I'll send it probably as a Word document.
Yeah, I would send it as a 97-2000, not the newest and greatest version, because I don't have that.
Okay. And then we'll get that all sent to you, Vance, and then if you can play with it a little bit and then get it back to Linda as a finished product Monday or Tuesday.
Let me just jump in one more time. Scott, you brought up a really good point. Here, let's do it this way. Everybody, save your stuff as plain text, and let's just avoid any issues, okay?
Yes.
Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Does that make sense to you, Taylor?
What?
Can you send the thing you've created to Vance in a plain text document?
I mean, you just save as .txt, and then we won't have any conversion issues.
Mine already is.
Yeah, that way I won't have to worry about what version of what people are using.
You just save it as a .txt.
Yeah, if I get it and I can't deal with it, I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. All right, that brings us down to the ranch house plans, which we've kind of already been talking about a little bit. The plans that we've had for the renovation of the ranch house at this point are becoming kind of non-issue, but the draftsman that was working on them took them with him on his Thanksgiving break. We're supposed to finish them up and get them back to me, and he didn't. I think they're done, but he was going to get them to me so we can at least pay him and put them on the shelf. Who knows? We may still do a renovation to that ranch house later on of some sort or another. And Dustin will continue to work on the Whisper Creek package.
Yeah, if Don can't get anywhere or a good discount on it, I'll just work with the guy out of Duck Creek, and they build 30 of them a year plus right there in Duck Creek. If you want to go up and look at them, they have an office right there at the meadow, and they'd be glad to show anybody the quality and, take tours.
Where can I get some information on this? Because my email address is wrong. I haven't gotten anything.
You need to correct the emails.
Who do I give it to? Who's the one that's monitoring the email addresses so I can make sure that's
right? Linda, are you back on?
I am, yes, I can. It's Scott. If you'll send it to Linda at deerspringsranch.org, I'll make sure everybody else gets it.
The best thing to do is to send an email to all of us.
Okay.
But he doesn't have all of your addresses.
I introduced the idea of let's just all join in on the Yahoo groups, and then anytime you send an email to that, it goes automatically to everybody rather than doing it. See me, but nobody wants to do that. So
in the meantime, send it to Linda at deerspringsranch.org, and I'll make sure everybody gets it.
Hey, Linda.
Yes, sir.
My email address?
Yes.
The middle of the initial on it is showing as a T, like as in Tom.
Yes.
It's P as in Patrick.
Oh, okay.
So that's the reason I haven't been receiving anything.
Okay.
We had item number 4 on here for the discussion was responsibility divisions. And I don't know that any of us have really discussed that, what we're dividing up as of yet. We need to.
That got stuck at committee, sounds like. Something I don't...
Well, that stuff Barbara sent out had a lot of good information. You just sort of need to digest it, I think.
Yeah.
Should we go over that real quick? I got a list of it here.
Yeah, let's do. That'll at least kind of put it in everybody's mind. We can start. Taylor's stuffing his face. He's going to start doing that and talking. I'm going to get something to eat.
It would be good to start January off with everybody at the head of the committee.
I'm working with Larry Sims on security. This is John Southwick.
Okay.
Okay.
There's prices in there. It's in the folder. There's prices in there. We were thinking the one-story Sundance, which is about 1,300 square foot, but if you put it on a basement, it's like 26.
Now, you're referring to the responsibilities at Deer Springs Ranch.
And they have various ones for the various loads. I figure we just do the eight.
Actually, there's
no
several
load.
Different ones here.
Unless you think it would require more than that.
You know, I don't know. They say in 0405 they got 3 feet out
there. Well, we could go with the higher snow load. It just costs more because it's bigger rafters and heavier engineered.
Larry, you got to ask about that.
Had my mind swept with all that information. All that useless information.
Well, I'm going to start reading some of these responsibilities. There may be, as I read them real quickly, maybe just make a comment whose responsibility it is, all right?
Okay.
To be the social logistical center for DSR for members. Whose responsibility?
ESR.
To be the social and logistical center of Deer Springs Ranch. For the member.
That's the
member. Okay, that's Ole. To be the social and logistical center, PSRA for employees.
That'd be
Linda.
Logistical. Vic, Linda? Well, wouldn't she be in charge of hiring somebody extra?
Well, depends. Only if you got employees out there.
It could be me just as easy. But I don't hire anybody. If I hire somebody, the ranch doesn't pay them. I pay them. Unless the ranch tells me to hire somebody, doesn't it?
Right, because you and I are both contracted.
Okay, to be the on-site protector of the assets.
That's me.
The best ranch. Okay.
I've done it.
General maintenance of the ranch house, cabins and all buildings, corrals and animal pens.
That's me.
This includes painting, repair of plumbing, repair of electrical, minor carpentry work, minor repair of appliances, repair of window screens, etc.
Sounds like you're reading my contract.
Et cetera, et cetera,
yeah.
Et cetera.
I think it is.
Yeah.
That might be old.
It's ranch
management.
No,
it's just a list of ranch management
responsibilities. Repairing roof repairs or replacements.
I would see that as the manager's responsibility to oversee, you know,
to coordinate major repairs.
Chances are that's going to be a hired or
so. What we should put in there is
Ole
as coordinator, and the person that calls the person up and has them go out.
But it's the board. It's the board.
The board has to authorize.
Yeah, the board has to have.
The board authorizes the money, only calls and coordinates. If it's something beyond minor repairs or if it's major repairs or major
expenditures. Yeah, one of the things I had on my contract, I wasn't very comfortable with electrical repairs. I thought, you don't want me fixing your electrical repairs.
That's not a big item.
Well, minor would be replacing a socket or changing out a switch or something.
Specified.
Wow, this prime rib is really tender. Is that a garlic crusting?
You shouldn't have gone all out like this.
You guys are rude. Prime rib.
Old people.
Oh.
Miss Linda, Ben.
Yeah.
You got to bring me a slice back.
I'll pass that back down here, John.
Okay.
Man, it's going to fall off the rib.
Yeah.
Okay, ranch-wide maintenance of fences, road signs, gates.
We just talked about road signs. That's a committee, isn't it?
Ranch-wide maintenance of fences, road signs, gates.
If they're in disrepair.
That's always
not new install.
Oh,
that would be old.
That's right off my contract.
Maintain existing culverts, cattle guards, and pond area.
I think that will still fall under the ranch manager
oversight, but not that it would not that he would necessarily do the work.
Don't think this list is just saying this is strictly for all. I mean, if they go down this list, it'll actually change.
Well, it has to do with on the ranch type stuff. I'm going to be the guy that oversees it. I mean, Alan did obviously our culverts earlier this year.
Weekly trips to town, Canad, St. George, et cetera, per need, to dispose of trash, do laundry, and purchase supplies.
That's me.
Provide social activities at headquarters, potluck, campfire programs, et cetera. Is that necessary?
SBOA,
does it? Committee.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't. If somebody organized, they want parties and stuff.
Well, there's a group that's coming in want dinner when they're in the summertime, so.
That could be anyone at the membership.
That could.
Yeah.
Well, so in other words, responsibility of organizer.
Will be the party, whoever's having the party would be
right.
The organizer. But
yeah.
I can certainly make sure the physical facilities are ready for them.
Okay, so what are my committees here? I've got, you know.
So Taylor, you mean social activities for members, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought. Not just social activities in general.
No, that could be an actual committee.
Right.
You know, could be.
Yeah.
Firewood cutting and stocking of cabins.
Holy man.
Provide for the care and handling of ranch livestock.
Holy man. Incidentally, don't send somebody out again to collect the cow that's at the Perea River. Alan shows up with a horse trailer in the driveway, no call. I need to catch a cow. I said, the average weight of those cows is going to be over 1,200 pounds. How do you figure to do that? I had to get on my stallion, go out through a foot of snow with a lariat, and rope that dirty sow halfway to Cannonville and load her in a trailer.
Was that one of our cows?
I think Larry said, go pick her up.
No, Alan just said, hey, I'll go out there. And
I said, how are you going to catch that cow?
I said, I don't even know if Holy's out there or not. Oh, I'm
He said, she's in a pasture. I says, yeah, it's called the Grand Staircase National Monument. I guarantee she'll stop at the Perea River, but inside of that. Anyway, we caught her, but bless my stallion. I can't believe he held. She weighed in 1375. And that horse, I roped her and dallied on a saddle that is not rated for that kind of load, I can tell you right now. And we held her and basically choked her down and stuffed her in a horse trailer out past John Pardo's.
Okay. Service, maintain and operate Kubota for dirt work, weed control, brush cutting.
Did it say grader?
No, this is
Kubota.
Hey.
Attend the monthly board meetings.
That's not me. That's
Oleman.
Brent. Take the communication.
No.
That's all.
I only missed one this year.
I think that includes board members, too.
Yeah.
Collect and handle money from store, equipment rental, etc.
Holy.
We're talking about building another store up on the...
Who's they?
Up on one. I'm putting a new porch on the old store. I don't know how good that system works. It didn't seem like that store made a bunch of money this year.
Well, you didn't have enough of the stuff in it that people would need, probably. I think it was my
really,
what
when
I saw.
When Kenda was
the
there,
big thing
it
is,
Kenda and Linda had it going well, but when they left, that store just went down to nothing but wrappers. And I mean, I never go in there. They hand me a bag of money, I give it to Linda, and if they don't, I don't do anything.
Yeah, they
have a refrigerator that works in there.
Yeah.
It just needs beans and milk and things that people forget, coffee and sugar. And
responsibilities-wise, I guess that's going to be good to go to the manager.
Back to Wrangler. That's Linda's responsibility there, isn't it?
Right.
Mine?
If they abort the horse program, there might not be a Wrangler, so that won't be a problem.
Nope.
Yeah. Operate grader to remove snow and do minor road repair.
We have a committee for that. The road committee. Brent, Larry Meltzer, and Joe McElroy volunteered to be the road guys.
What's the responsibility in that, though?
Brent is the road committee, and he says that's all
Bless you.
It says operate grader. I mean, they're going to be the operators and stuff?
I went out and said, show me how to run this. They said, nope, this is the road committee, and between the three of them, they've committed to operate.
And they're going
to
expend the funds that we have that are
in
the road
budget? I don't
know if I budget.
Completely approve of that idea yet.
I don't know
about that until I get a little more information on that.
I would be happy to run the grader, but they all have experience running it. I said, show me how. It's John Deere. I can figure it out.
I think we need the board maybe looking
at it. I think the way we had it kind of over the past few years, Brent Fulmer was kind of the road committee chairman, and he always, came back in to say, we need to work on this area or this area. Or
but this wasn't the question I asked.
Operating
for snow removal and minor.
Okay.
Well,
the boat is running. I do the headquarters and little stuff. But as far as running the grader, Larry's an experienced grader, and so is Brent. And I said, I'll do anything you ask me to do, but, be careful what you ask me, because it's a big piece of equipment to see over an edge.
So you got your road committee on that right now. All right, grade the ranch roads. Whose responsibility?
That'd be in with the committee, right? Or no, as far as who we hire,
We've been doing a general. We have been using our grader in the past until the past year. We've been using our grader, but
we should be back into using our grader.
We've hired an operator.
Yeah.
And I guess if we got somebody at the ranch who's qualified to operate the grader, that
I would.
I'm putting that in parentheses.
Qualified,
because that's been the problem with that grader, I think, a little bit. If you're not knowing what you're doing, we've got $1,000 worth of repair bills like that
per $2,000.
I told them at the beginning, I will volunteer for being trained. I'll go through any sort of schooling they want, but if they have somebody that's good at it and does it,
My opinion is, as a board member, is if you're going to be at the ranch, you need to learn how to operate that grader first.
I would be delighted to. In fact, I've asked to.
For minor road repairs and for snow removal, I think.
I'm pretty good at heavy equipment. I've driven a bulldozer. I've just never driven a grader. And if somebody will train me on the machine, you can look at my work and see if you think I'm doing a good job. And if not, train me some more.
It only take you about 5 minutes to actually train you. Then it takes experience and practice. Right, Larry?
Learn and feel.
You just have to get out.
If it only takes 5 minutes to train, I want to learn how.
Well, let me rephrase that.
You got to be a male.
I'm just joking there.
So this is recorded.
Taylor Ouija doll.
My wife told me. Now watch what you say,
Taylor. who could be would one of the road committee train Ole in the grader?
Rick says he'd train me.
Yeah. This is the best person right here. I think it's Larry right here that would be the best. If Larry's got the time, I think.
Train me on your grader, so if I break it, it's not a big deal.
And Ole, honestly, a good place to practice. Is the airstrip, but as far as learning your controls and stuff.
Certainly won't have to deal with too many curves, boy.
No, I mean, that's a good place. I mean, it's hard to actually level, but it's hard to...
I got a question for how much snow, which roads and how much snow removal are we requiring?
Ooh, this would be an excellent time to bring up that Ortolani question.
The ranch headquarters is the max that you have to do. Get you in and out to the county road. That's all.
Yes, that's
okay.
That's
anybody else want anything done?
It's awesome. Ortolani's have offered $300 to grade the snow up to their place.
It's per hour.
Do it or not?
It's per hour.
How much is it per hour?
I think we'll be in charge of $60 an hour.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So much for the grader and so much for the operator.
No,
right?
We just been charging.
Hang on a second. How detrimental is it to the road that everybody else has to use to get the Ortolanis into their place? It's not just them.
It can't be a ranch responsibility, though.
No, it's not.
And it should really be delegated by the board as to who does it.
if he wants to contact Alan Seed or if he wants to pay Larry to do it or anybody,
yeah.
Let him make his own arrangements. Get it off of the board.
Well, it does say that the ranch will make available their equipment to be leased for they have to pay, it says, right.
The Kubota rates, yeah.
Well, in the past, we asked for this work because it's in the last year, it's been a pretty good
amount. Made some pretty good money for the ranch.
For the ranch repairs.
Well, that's the question I'm putting to you. Do you want us to entertain that? Call and say, I need to know the rate because that's what's going to determine it.
We had been doing that, I think, at $50 an hour.
That's what it said.
The grader?
Yeah.
I thought the Kubota was 50 and the grader was 60, but I could be wrong. That's because I haven't been involved for...
The biggest thing there is if it's not done at the right time, then... It necessarily, I mean, it creates bigger problems than...
Right, exactly.
If it's done when the ground's frozen, so all you're doing is kicking off the snow, and you grade it right so you're not... If you drive along a lot of those roads, you see a nice little windrow of gravel off the side, and that's somebody blading snow and taking the top level of gravel over in the snow bank. And when the snow melts, you have a ribbon of gravel.
You can leave a couple inches of snow on
the
road.
Yeah, leave a little skip of snow and just take off the bulk of the snow.
Right.
And do it when it's frozen so you're not making big ruts and a big mess.
And then they travel in when it's frozen too. So.
If they start traveling when it's soft and muddy and making ruts, then the water runs down the ruts in the road.
Will that grader make that hill going up, you know, that little right after you pass the Crawford Pass and go up that hill before you go again? That's
yeah.
The hardest part. Make that all right.
The hardest part you have is 100 yards to their cabin itself, their pipeline. That's the part I got.
That little hill you're talking about is shadowed, so
oh,
a lot of times, even
that's
when the snow's gone,
always.
There's always a nice skip right there.
Put on the hill, up the hill.
We don't have to worry
about
roads. It's been plenty cold. You couldn't hurt that road under the way it is now. It was 15 degrees.
Can we
speed
through?
The snowpack actually helps the road, too. I mean, it warms up and it still keeps the...
But as far as Ole's responsibility with the grader, it would be just around... The headquarters.
Yes.
Okay.
The ranch, yeah. That's no problem. When the Kubota's up and running, that's not...
Yeah, then members can ask
to
hire...
Brent Former living out there. Brent Former wants his road graded.
He does.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, he'd have to pay the using the ranch's
equipment. We made the ranch headquarters and down into cabin 7 and 8.
Yes,
we do have people coming in there.
Okay, now I can get in with the Kubota to 7 and 8, but I can only get the grader around the big swoop. I can't get down and mess around.
Which brings up a concern of mine as far as our roads. We should have some sort of standard for our roads once we get them up to the standard as far as road base and culvert maintenance and road maintenance. And I think we should have some sort of standard. Just throwing it out there. Something to talk about maybe in a future meeting. I could compile some specifications or whatever, but I really do believe that roads are one, as a property owner, roads are one of our main concerns.
And they're actually one of the
if
biggest
not the
issues
main concern to get to your
by
property.
The members.
And we should have standards to get our roads to a certain standard and keep them there. Throughout the ranch.
And some of our roads are in real bad shape, and some of them are in real good shape.
And if we have to work as separate, our own committees from our own areas, that's fine too. But we should have some sort of standard that we can bring our roads up
on spur roads. Like,
you know,
Brent Fulmer's road, members got together, they graveled their own road, they maintained their own road off the main drag. But we should certainly maintain Metal Canyon because it services all the...
We should maintain all of them. But more get, some gets get more more yeah. Others.
Well,
what does the current bylaws say as far as road maintenance?
Bylaws say that the ranches maintain all the roads.
And once a year do we go in and do that?
Yeah, once a year is, I mean, that's where I think we need to really try to work towards improving the ranch structure.
It's kind of an odd standard, though, because at Deer Springs Ranch, once a storm may be necessary, and then in a year like last year where we didn't get any storm,
right.
The roads stayed perfect,
right.
Then one storm clipped us in a million places, so it's not really an annual thing, it's kind of a
as needed.
Yeah.
As needed.
We're
still limited to our budget. I mean,
well, yeah. That's why, if those of us in Slide Canyon need, want to improve our roads, we need to get together as owners of properties in that area to work together to improve our roads, but we have a standard that we could work towards.
Yeah,
very awesome. Pie in the sky that's later down the road.
Well, no, a standard is because a lot of people will say, well, this road, my road doesn't look like this. It's you know, rutted, and that the main road is nice and smooth. I don't know what standard, you know, the standard what you do with a string stick and a...
Here's an idea, though. Like, we've done a lot of work over in Crawford. Now, I'm not knocking your idea, but now, say we had to meet some certain standards, the road might not have got done at all. So, in a sense, it might be a good idea, but if people are putting out their own money to improve the road...
Right. Any improvement is better than no improvement. Right.
If we're not careful...
We like to get, like, 3 inches or 4 inches of road base.
It's been a while since I've been associated with it, but is does Dale have, or the developer still have, any responsibility as far as roads to cabins?
No.
Any new properties or unsold properties? So that's totally removed.
Association.
There are no unsold properties.
And
I mean, it's a good idea, but I see where it could cause
maybe
people back out and say, I've got to meet this certain standard, and there's no sense even.
Did you finish your list?
Oh, heavens no.
We're running out of
time. Great Rancho, we'll put contractor or committee again. Cattle winterization in fall and opening in the spring.
Holy.
We finished that, by the way, in case I know some people wondered what cabins were open, what cabins aren't. We have winterized and closed up everything except 7 and 8. The garden cabin is not yet, but that's because we had heard that possibly at Christmas somebody wanted to come out. And if it's not frozen, they can. And if it is frozen,
I canceled those Christmas ones. I made some people very unhappy, but I canceled them because my understanding was is that we couldn't leave it open.
Well, that's what Matt told me, is he says not doable, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just hold off on that one as long as the weather will. So if the water flows, it does. If not, if you've canceled them, I'll just close that one up too.
I canceled them all.
Okay.
They deep clean cabins.
That's Terry Racine.
and what's the frequency there? Once a month?
You know what? We just, every single time, and this is just because I had Jerry, and I don't know what we'll do next year if he's not there, but he doesn't not deep. He takes a toothbrush every time he goes, so it was really not an issue this year. He's insane about cleaning, and so we deep clean just about every person that came through.
Yeah, they got Oli down there. Gather, secure, and feed livestock for the winter.
Thank you.
Erosion control measures, minor.
I don't know. Road access.
Road accesses, or
so
some
we have
water
a big
problem.
Giant wash through the main road.
This is minor. Yeah, this is minor.
You coordinate getting.
Oh, if I can do it with the Kubota, it's me.
Okay, major.
And the board. Major would be Alan Steen.
Or contractor.
Contractor, board.
Yeah, Oli coordinates.
But that would be board with
the business
and Oli then. Board and Oli then. New or major fence projects?
No, if they're major, new, and you're going to contract the fence being built,
then you coordinate them.
Board only then. Equipment winterization and maintenance.
Board and only.
Only.
We don't really have a mechanic person. I mean, Brent's been kind of in charge of them, but the ones that he knows, but. If we have them on a regular maintenance schedule.
That's kind of a critical one that I think if we can get you to take that responsibility, simply because if it's put down there as board and we have a piece of equipment that's not winterized and it ends up freezing because you thought I was doing it and I thought you were doing it and you thought he was doing it, nobody really did, then we get a engine block frozen on a motor or the generator or
Another
another example too, like the old Gray Ford, being gone. You know, a minor repair like that. I think you should just have got it done.
When that went bad, my instructions were from Brent at the time, and he says, just drive it till it dies. He says, we already put $9,000 into it, and we're getting a new truck. And I says, well, I hate to just junk this truck if it can be driven. He says, well, drive it. It's been the most reliable vehicle we have. It is on its last leg, but if they can replace the hubs to make it go, the engine's great. That thing fires every time.
All kinds of pilots, too.
So I would be thrilled to put it back in working order. We don't, the dually four-wheel drive, I don't know if anybody's ever driven a dually four-wheel drive, but it creates such a broad base that you can't do anything with it anyway. And so that board, if it had a four-wheel drive functioning, would be really helpful, because when we go to get wood and have to get up in places, you know.
Okay, cabin check-in and out. This may include showing new members or non-members the way to their cabins and how to use propane lanterns. Review the check-out procedures. Verify intended length of stay.
That's me.
Restock cabin supplies. Provide follow-up cleaning, sterilize bathroom, etc. as necessary in preparation for the next guest.
Me.
Provide the food area. Members or guests only usage. Wasting of fish, etc.
The wasting of fish, did you say?
Yeah. Clean. Fish
cup. I'm the
fish cup.
I told you, my title is ranch ranger more than it is ranch manager.
Upper cabin water system maintenance and regular review.
Brent has taken that one on as a committee. He knows all about it, and I help him, but he's
kind of become the kind of a
we call him the water
master
of Deer Spring, France. If he were to leave, that would fall back on
water resource manager.
All I do is
so let's put Ole as coordinator.
Oh yeah, if it has to do with the infrastructure.
Okay, this is the idea though. This responsibility. I mean,
then let's have Ole listed as the coordinator of it.
He
recognizes that there's a problem and designates the person to get it done.
Have another member that just kind of fills that role. So it's going to be the ranch's ranch manager responsibility. You got to define it in general terms. We have a lot of situations this year that he could have a heart attack and then.
Yeah, he could be gone tomorrow.
Fall to Joe.
Name over there.
You know what? I was put in that position about, 2001, right after 9/11. My sister passed away and she was doing all of my mother's finances. And I had asked her beforehand, would you please show me what you're doing and what's going on? So I said, just in case something happens to you. And she says, nothing's going to be happening to me. Don't worry about that. And I just was dumped with some major financial situations that I had no idea what was going on. It was trial by fire. So the more you can learn and the more people that Brent can train, the better off we'll be.
Yep, sure, true. Yard work at headquarters, lawn, flowers, trees, and shrubs, play area weed control. Supervised store, order store supplies.
I hate that. That's for my wife.
Okay. But you're responsible for it to get her to do it.
I can hear that, sir, but I don't have to.
That's right.
Accounts payable.
About the Super Bowl?
That's Linda.
Okay. Accounts payable and receivable. That's Linda, right?
That's me.
Taxes and fees.
Linda. Me.
Past due accounts, liens, etc.
Linda.
Oh, and I haven't done that, but yes, see.
Board Linda thing, don't we have to make motions for that?
She's kind of handy.
She is our agent for that.
That's Barry Clarkson.
Okay, Barry's doing the actual lanes, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's our coordinator then for that.
Reservation request.
Linda.
Me? That's me.
Record of all minutes.
What was that?
Record of all minutes.
Vance.
Vance, you still there?
Oh, yeah.
A record of all minutes. I keep a record, but I don't take the minutes.
No, that's secretary.
At the board meeting, she's supposed to, or do you have a secretary separate?
The board.
That's Scott.
Okay. Or I can put board secretary.
And if Scott can't be there, then he needs to arrange for somebody to do it.
Okay, then there should be a, then we say record, keep a record of all records. Of all
I keep a record of the minutes.
Okay, so that
goes, Linda.
So there's two different responsibilities
right there. We need to make sure it's all recorded. I mean, we have a file for that.
Because I say, you know, Scott will be secretary this year,
right.
But next year you might have different.
Right, no, we have a file.
Different assignments.
Along with all of us.
Newsletters.
Linda.
Kenda. I thought Kenda was doing those.
Hmm.
You're the paperwork lady, and I don't have a Kenda.
She told me she was doing newsletters.
I think it's.
But then she had trouble with the computer, and all of that stuff happened. But my understanding was that she was
board.
Doing the
board response.
I think it is.
Okay.
I put that as a board. I think it is a board.
I will certainly contribute to each newsletter. The manager should, but
that's the board.
If it's our responsibility, then we can delegate this.
We should have certain
we haven't had a working computer all year. I don't know that my place is a place to be formulating a newspaper.
No.
Okay.
Hey, at least you got to
move on here.
Do, and it's pretty.
Keep current list of addresses of lot owners.
Linda.
Me.
Linda.
This is a good one. Watching expenditures, staying within the allotted budget.
I keep trying.
I think that is everybody.
Board.
I think that's the board.
Slash Linda.
Linda, Ole, manager.
Yeah.
I just alert you to problems.
Projection of future on-the-ground ranch needs and communicating those needs to the board in writing.
Ole.
Needs on the ground? Ole.
Members come up.
Only
communicating them to him would be.
Okay. He'll have
that's all. I'm the one that complains.
Eyes, yeah. Ears on the,
yeah. Keep the board educated, informed of happenings.
Everyone.
I think that'd be Linda and Ole again.
Yeah.
If they're happenings out there, if they're happenings that affect the ranch from outside, I guess it's that's what you.
Linda has ears from. For different areas than you are. I mean, people calling her on quarterly water test. Who's responsible?
Olima.
Maintain the phone and computer systems.
Van Screen.
See how fast I went with that, Van?
Yeah, it's just kind of a whoever can be there who knows how to do it.
Ben.
You know, Dustin's done some, I've done some, Brent fills in, you know.
Who's using it?
But whose responsibility is it, though?
Is it at the ranch?
To maintain, yeah, this is the ranch computer and phone system.
Not mine.
Right? I mean, people's worked on it, but who's the ultimate responsible for it? This is what this list is trying to determine.
That's a board. The board has to make sure that the place runs, or that the computer and so on.
That's what we've
been
doing.
We don't maintain it. We're not there to maintain it, though, as the board.
I can't miss. There's not much to maintaining it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you got to find someone. Well, and I think that's also something we need to go over with education.
Let's put this under maintain the solar system next to it. So we have to put all three of those.
Yeah, the phone, computer. There's certain things
those.
That have to be done to keep them operational. And right now, none of us know really what to do or not.
I propose it to him. Responsible for it. And if something's wrong,
I could certainly
he
be responsible.
Then you
need to know when it doesn't work.
Yeah,
then you tell us.
So,
then you tell us.
It's not working,
and
it's your responsibility to let somebody know that it's not working.
That's right.
Responsibility is to do something about it, though. Because, like, how long have we emailed about the water heater? And I said, I can switch the water heater, but I have to have a board approval. It's been
get
2 months.
You
and
do?
All Brent says is, I've emailed them. No, we're the ones not taking a shower.
Get it done.
I say get it done.
Get it done.
That's what I would do, but I
vote now. I vote. Get it done. You need hot water.
When you're talking about a
I sent him to get him
down.
Yeah.
When you're talking about a $200 item, I don't think the board should be bothered. Me personally, I don't think the board should need to be bothered with it.
Be informed about it.
That's
right.
Just
take care of it.
Just take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
do we need to set a dollar amount
and
or something like that?
Well, for if it's something that needs to be repaired in a cabin, then it's got to be repaired.
There's really no board decision about it. That was my feeling before. I said, you got to have it. What if you don't
get it
have
done.
It?
I mean, if
the board's going to go, yeah, you're right, go do it. I don't want to wait 2 months next time I do.
No. If water heater goes out of on the cabin, the people staying in it, does he have to get our approval to fix it?
No.
He's no different.
I would say then we say if it's more than X amount of dollars, if it's something like that, it needs to just get done.
It's more than 200.
He's got a budget. He needs, you know.
What's the money? What's the match?
200.
For less.
I was thinking.
For what?
A repair that needs to be done that should.
An emergency repair.
I have to call the board. I mean, I'm not going to. In a year, I haven't done anything without the board's approval, but the. You should have a figure like that. That way, the worst that the ranch could ever get hurt in an extremity would be $500.
When you get hurt, we'd be fixing something that's needed on the ranch.
If a major road up there washes out, you got people stuck up at the upper cabin and they can't get down. If it's going to cost $1,000, you need to.
I wouldn't have been so goosey about it up till now, but I mean, I can't even clean the shop without having to get a board approval
well,
and throw the stuff away. And
if
I thought,
it's more than $500, he just needs to call an officer of the board, and that would be a president or a vice president to get a conditional approval. If it's anything more exciting than that, then we can get the board.
That's what I do, Ollie.
Right? So if you can't.
If I feel uncomfortable about the price, I just call somebody.
Yeah, if you can't get a hold of Larry, get a hold of me, and we'll give you a conditional approval.
Okay.
So over $500.
Under $500.
Under $500, get it done. And then report it to us as soon as possible. Does that seem reasonable?
Yep.
Mostly, very sadly, you ever have an emergency, you know, but we can't just sit on it.
You can't let things sit for too much.
The ranch truck broke down. You had to get it hauled in to get it fixed.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah, that's one that exceeds it, so it has to go before.
Then just call us.
Or let us know.
Let us know in the middle. Don't let it wait 30 days.
No, on that one we did. I just hauled it in and said it's broken.
We talked a little bit about
what's it going to take. You have time.
Harder fish. Stop the fish pond.
I kind of do.
Responsibility for grazing right, at least.
50 and it's two-wheel drive. And
I'm the guy that oversees that, too.
We need a heavier one and a bigger one. Grazers or do this or do that. Yeah. We need one.
Keep ranch truck and all equipment serviced and maintained in good working order.
Hey, I have a question on that, though.
Now you got
grazing that we miss. I mean, I'm the guy who's taking the cows on that stuff, but the board is the one that has to write the letter to Brent, not me.
Right.
I'm sorry, what are we writing a letter about now?
We need to talk about that.
I thought I might even just go with you and sit down with him and Lynette and kind of see what their operation plan is.
Well, they're in the middle of switching right now. It's a perfect time for us to drop the hammer.
I might be able to get us a deal on a Rhino in February, too. I know Yamaha directly. So if we want to come up with the money, we might be able to get it at, like, wholesale price.
I heard you were going to get an ATV. Is that right?
Well, we've talked about it off and on. I had one available, and it got bought out from underneath this. I bought one 2 weeks ago, but I don't know that it's big enough or heavy enough. It's only a 250, and it's only two-wheel drive. It would be transportation back and forth, but
anything would be good, but you pretty much need a four-wheel drive for that area because when it's muddy, it changes.
Yeah.
And dragging a trailer back and forth, up and around, but.
Start generators several times per week to keep water tanks full and allow the gas servers.
I have done that only as needed this year, and I kind of saved the time for when people are in the cabin so they get the benefit of the electricity. I do not start that thing seven times a week, and I don't know if the board noticed, but I tried my hardest this year to save a bunch of money for the board. I don't know how much
as needed
we came in under, but I didn't spend anything I didn't have to spend out there.
My question is, are guests guaranteed access to electricity?
No.
We've talked about
no. No.
No, they're not. But what I'm saying is when I have to run the generator anyway to provide the water to the
tank. Oh, sure. They might as well, you know, plug in their iPod. Yeah, no problem.
I look at the roster and say, oh, there's going to be people in this day. I'll wait if I can. Then I wait, and then they get at least the benefit of the power when it's running anyway.
Right.
But that's my responsibility as far as.
Right on their reservation confirmation, it says there's no electricity.
Yeah. And we've had the discussion a couple of times, and that's wise. I mean, they shouldn't expect to have power when they come out here. Do they do? If they don't, they don't.
And we've run it in the past on special request, but we've charged them for it.
Huh.
If it's not one we're going to be running it anyway, because they want to run it. We've stayed up till 12, 1 o'clock at night sometimes when they're, you know, to run it for special activities. But they've been willing to pay for this.
We'll figure out what that costs us and just charge them the cost of it.
But back then we charged, I think, $4.55 an hour, but that's for diesel.
We should run it on a regular basis just to make sure that all the tanks are filled and things are ready.
Well, during fire season, I keep it clear to the top in case there's a fire. That's something that I talked to Brent about. But in the winter and the off season, you know, if I can play with the level more because of people here or not, I do. Because, you know, the diesel costs a lot of money, and I try to, you know, don't just keep it. And the other thing is, if it ever runs over, it's just water shooting off. It's not good.
No, I might make a recommendation this time of year, though, to run it.
Periodically.
A couple times a week, just for half hour to an hour. I'll keep the batteries,
that's really
batteries charged, and that, keep that water in that line.
It makes it easier to start, too, if
moving
it's been running the day before. We'll put it on half hour here and there. Through the cold, you need to, because that's just diesel engines need to be started regularly.
Keep it good. Yeah. No gelling.
Notify AmeriGas when propane tanks are low.
I check the level when I go to change the cabins over. I look to see where they're at. So, Linda actually is the one that contacts AmeriGas and gets them out there, but I call.
But you consult.
Yeah.
I'm putting you down as responsible for that, too. Maintain fire pits at each cabin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm serious. You know, why are we asking them to do more?
We're not. It's all on the list.
Well, Vance got a good point. Is like, are we asking too much? And
well,
could our efforts be better used in another area? That's something that we need to weigh out. Getting back to the fire pit, now, I don't think there's only one fire pit that's within code. Maybe.
Yeah, I think if we're going to really do fire pits, we should
pay
to do fire pits.
I think we.
All I do with that is. I have to, because some of them get awful as far as what they leave in them. I don't maintain them as far as moving around or bringing them up to code, but they leave a bunch of crap in them, and when I go up, I have to pick up the trash. And if I didn't do it, the next member isn't going to do it. He's going to complain about it. And so that's why I have to do it.
Well, yeah. That's a Vance question. I don't think Vance were asking to necessarily do all of this, but somebody's got to be responsible. You know, oversee all of this, and we're just trying to decide who should be overseeing.
Well,
it's true. I mean, nobody can actually do all the physical work of it, but somebody's got to be responsible. If we want to assign somebody,
it's my responsibility. It's part of what it looks like around the cabins, and you know as well as I do. Good members when they leave, it looks better when they came, and the bad members when they leave is a real pain. But you know. Somebody's head has to roll if it's not there, and I guarantee it's me they're going to complain to, so I just as well do it when I go up.
I know in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've really encouraged people not to have any outside fires in these fire pits anyway because of the dry
conditions. They pulled the burn restriction off periodically this summer, and at that point, I mean, they check in with me, and if they start a fire and it's not on, I just tell them you got to put it out, and you got to put it out right now.
There's a couple of times when the county actually left the dirt, but we kept it on.
Is there any validity to the just not doing it at all? I mean, let's just, you know, if it's a problem and it's off and on, you know, I mean, it's not necessary to keep them alive like a wood stove is.
Well, I think it's nice to have, and I think that if we make our fire pits up to code and we keep the clearance around and we have the ash cans there available, and our membership should be emptying and filling up the ash cans, taking, cleaning out the pits, you know.
They should be, yeah.
If they know about it and the cans are there.
But right now,
most of
them
are just rocks.
I still have to pick up the cans and take them out and dump them, but most of them don't even. They just put trash in the cans and have no idea.
They also need to make sure that the fire is dead out when they leave. They don't leave the, you know, I don't care, regardless whether they have the clearance around it or not.
I don't think it's been a big problem, really, has it?
If the wind kicks up there, we know that the wind does kick up there. It can take ashes and embers and blow them out and create a fire.
That's one reason why we've been keeping the fire restrictions on them, even when the county lifts theirs because of
it's my responsibility anyway. That's the
responsible for information binders in each cabin.
Linda gave me information binders earlier this year, which I put out, and all but one of them are still there. And unless the information changed, I mean, she had a whole bunch of stuff. She had stuff about bears in there. She had stuff about, I mean, they were pretty
informational,
like a owner's manual to life in the outdoors. So
we put that down as a joint responsibility between Linda.
Yeah, she knows what she wants in them as far as making sure they're there. That's my responsibility.
And I've got a file. I've got my files in the computer so I can update them and replace them as need be. So I don't mind doing that at all.
This spring when we reopen, we'll just check to make sure they're all in there. And
I figured I'd come and collect them all and redo them and just give them back to you.
Yeah, any references to linens in the cabins, we need to strike that or at least put on there that they're available through
the new policy.
The new policy.
Do we need to put that new policy in the newsletter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So
about that.
All right.
That was a good decision, by the way. I really think
Hello.
It was.
John Southwick, I think, has that on there.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Have we gotten any response to that?
Keep looking at him organized.
Yes. I had it put on the website. Melinda put it on the website for us, and I've already had some no's and I've had some yeses. We're getting a lot of reservations right now.
Good.
It was a good decision because the members that I've spoke to, a lot of them already bring their own linens because they like sleeping in their own stuff out there. But the fact that it's available if they need it is plenty good, and it's going to take a whole lot of weight off the ranch financially, running laundry and messing around.
It won't eliminate it, but it'll reduce.
You got some air time to do other things.
We still have to go up and clean them and make sure they're all good, but the running back and forth, the stocking, and I mean, that's really where the head work comes in.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's got just what they need. As long as it's available, all they have to do is say, we want it fully stocked. If Linda says on there, wants it fully stocked and charges them accordingly, we're still happy to go do it. So, but then it becomes an income to the ranch rather than a liability.
Right.
Rags is up there and actually become rags now, huh?
It'll pay for those other two tires on the white van.
Super.
Okay. Barter cleaning supplies, toilet paper, paper towels, soap, et cetera.
Ooh, I love that.
That's a good one.
I'll call you back. Stand Eastwood. All right.
Let me only on that one then. Spray for insects, spring and fall in each cabin.
All right. No problem.
Pesticides.
I think you'd spray for any bugs this year, but no one complained about any bugs. The only thing we had trouble with this year was mice, and Terry Alderman is like the mouse hunt man.
Hey, I helped too.
Good wife, Linda.
Thank you.
They did the mice, but bugs have not been a problem. I don't know if it's just so dry or what, but not too much.
Yeah, I gotta speed through this.
Put 50 tank treatment in 50 tanks each spring, and some Don Cox saying that might not be a waste. But
we
I know
suck them all dry. They probably don't want to be treated for a little while.
I know in the past we've always done that. So if that's going to be something to do, that'd be.
Sorry,
check all fire extinguishers, smoke alarms, and carbon monoxide detectors.
Yeah, those need to be done.
Yes.
We do have fire detectors in there, and we have fire extinguishers.
There's carbon monoxide detectors.
Because they, after a period of time, the extinguishers need to be recharged or replaced.
Yeah, annually usually recommended, but you could probably get.
You know what? We have the best firemen in the world up there. I'll check with them and find out where we're at.
But I know we got, the carbon monoxide detectors separate all in there, too.
I don't know.
Okay.
Periodically need to have new batteries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
At least every other year.
Actually,
it should be like every 6 months, but I think out at the ranch in the spring if we replace the batteries, and I can get the batteries through my husband at wholesale because we have a supplier for that. So we can do that this year.
We do that every year.
Batteries every spring.
Yeah, every year we should put batteries in those things. Some of them take AA's and some of them take 9 volts, so I would need to know how many of what to order.
So we should also remount our fire extinguishers, check them all, remount them properly because they're not mounted. Because one of them in cabin 2, I believe, you have to reach through the fire that's on the stove to get to the fire extinguisher.
Not a good plan.
Not a good plan.
I bet 3 or 4 years since they've been checked.
I'm surprised Brent hasn't noticed that.
I'll tell him he's dropping the ball. I know someone's stuck in the cleaning supplies and
All right, got two more here. Use chainsaw to trim limbs from the cabins and propane tanks.
I mean, we started a limbing trim program this year, and we'll continue it on next year, but I'm going to do the Earl of Anger's been out there, and when I get time, any time I have, I've thrown at that. And we've done pretty good on the upper cabins that the snow's prohibiting us now. By the end of next year, I hope to have all the cabins lemon trimmed and really done. And then
they're the worst cabins. Our cabins are not quite as bad anyway.
No. We need a chipper.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get them to bring their chipper out to us.
Well,
so we can.
We can. I piled all the stuff from this year, and I'm going to burn it this winter out there. The oak, but if I get the time, the best thing to do is lemon trim, and then put the solar fence up and put the goats in there for a couple of days and just let them clean everything up. They do an excellent job, but I just, only so many things I can do in a day.
All right, last one here. Police the gates the hunting season. Yeah.
A ranger.
We need to buy Ole bulletproof vest.
Yeah, a badge or something because they don't take this old rancher seriously enough.
Let's talk.
There's a lot of responsibilities here that falls on Ole. So as a board, we need to buckle in and give him a little hand on a lot of this stuff too. You know, I've been up there, so I didn't know what it's like. Get overloaded pretty easy.
Well, it's just like we had a service project at our, not the last meeting, but the one before that out at the ranch. Every time we have one at the ranch, if you want to set up projects that we can contribute to, including the limb and trim culverts, we can knock down an awful lot.
I think another thing that this list underscores, we've had a couple people saying, and I won't name names, but somebody saying, we shouldn't have a ranch manager. Why bother with a ranch manager? If we look at those responsibilities, none of those would be done.
Right.
Role.
Well,
so
here's the bottom line on that. If you sold off your association ground and just had it as people's cabin lots in the mountains, you wouldn't need a manager. You probably still would because everybody. I do more getting people unstuck than almost anything, and not just members.
No.
On Scootum Paw Road, when someone gets stuck, guess who they come to? How many people did I pull out this year? And you pulled some folks out. People spending nights in our trees and coming in the morning. And I realize that's not our responsibility.
We need to get you a big yellow form.
We're out there.
And submit them a bill.
Well, do you know
I'm
what
curious.
I brought them in and fed them breakfast
and then submit them a big bill.
Hey, this is the old West. You help out whoever's
there. That's really it. But what I'm saying
even
is,
even if they're trespassers,
you got your own stuff to help out your neighbor.
He's this guy was actually pretty nice. He worked for the UN Council, the one guy, and he sent me a digital camera about a week ago. I wouldn't take any payment from him. He says, let me pay you. And I said, no. I said, if I'm stuck somewhere, if you find someone stuck, help them out. Pass it along. That's all I care about. So I took him in, fixed him breakfast and stuff, and his wife didn't know that eggs actually came out of the butt of a chicken.
She's
pretty upset about that. But anyway, he sent me a beautiful camera, and he says you wouldn't take any money, and I just had to say thank you. So I mean, that's pretty nice. But the issue surrounding the ranch managership, I think about that from time to time. If you sell your association land and it was just cabin lots, you probably wouldn't need a manager. But as long as you have associated land and you have a membership.
We have the cabin.
Who in the world, there's so much that happens just with the membership. Every time those cabins fill up, whether they're our cabins or their own cabins, they come to the headquarters. The first thing they do is they pull in, they open up their vehicle, their kids run out and go get in the petting zoo. And the parents come over and read the billboard to see what's going on. Then they come in to me and I have to give them the verbal newsletter every time. Then they load up, but they're down there two or three times during their stay want to know about this road, or can I get here, or where do I go for this? And you spend, Taylor can tell you, spend half your time talking to people about things and then going up to help them. And there's a lot of stuff that just happens that you don't plan for. And it really, frankly, screws up your day almost every day. I'll go out with a big fencing project, and I'll get partway through it, and down they come. And I figure, you know what, I have to have patience for the fact, you know, I mean, they pay my salary, so when they need me, I go. And so the only way to get rid of a manager is to get rid of the ranch, because you really, it's a there's a lot that goes to that.
Yes.
I just thought we had to stress that because of some comments by certain people.
Yeah, you can. Hang on, Sean.
That it needs to be.
Come spend a week.
I know.
That was upset, the last one.
Yeah. That's it.
But one thing we need to talk about that's on here is the motorcycle race for 2008.
Okay.
I know Splendid Matt.
I mean, most all of us know the route that they've been taking the past. They've done the race there three.
How much does the ranch get paid for that?
I'm off caller.
Probably make $3,000. We don't get a whole lot of money from the race itself.
I'll have to find out.
We rent out facilities and stuff to them. You know, the cabins. We do good.
On the airstrip there. How is the condition after?
8990276.
I think it's always been
pretty good. There's not a gum wrapper left on that ranch.
Yeah.
After they're done.
Yeah. I really think they've always done a good job of.
Bye.
They come down a week before and kind of check things out and fix any problems with the track or place they run.
There's a concern about some of the members that are a little closer.
They've gone through some of the properties there.
Yeah.
Their tracks are already set up. I mean, they already know their course. The guy that's running it is the same guy that's run it before. He knows how to flag where they're at.
We've been worked with them real, real close. And
the only thing I would request next time is that they, if they put up the ribbons, they take them back down. When you're driving up, there's a lot of ribbons that are left.
They usually take up most
that's
of them.
I think they've always taken theirs down.
Sometimes flagging my
curves. I've ridden all the tracks with my horse, and there's just a lot of ribbons.
Maybe somebody missed a section, but they usually, the group that sponsors the race,
and Brent's very sensitive to that because that's kind of one of his beefs. He says they're real good. He liked them a lot, so.
Is this a day, a one-day thing?
It's a weekend. And set up one day, they race one day, and then take it down, clear out one day.
Some of them actually come in that morning, leave that night. The majority of them come and spend the night. It's a family type thing.
They want to run it.
It's a racing club. Each club takes turns sponsoring the riding event.
It's like an endurance ride. Then the contestants come pay it.
They love this area down here because it's a real nice track.
It's a great track.
And it's on private ground, but one of the very, very few races that
you ought to get in it, Mr. Southwick.
I'm thinking about it.
You should. You ride that in, girl.
It sounds like you're going to say yay on this because I need to call them on Monday. And then I will need to bill them. And so perhaps Taylor, you could tell me where I would find that file because I didn't find anything when I looked for it.
Vance, do you have any other input on that?
Yeah, you guys already know where I stand on this. And you made $3,600 off it last time. I went back to the audio. They've been good in the past. I understand that. But there's more people living down there full time. Larry Meltzer lives down there. The people in 154 who I haven't met yet live down there. I'm not going to rehash. I just think it's an inappropriate use of the ranch. I really do. And I'll stop right there.
Are these properties here or association owned?
Yeah. No, it's all on.
No, I mean
private.
The new folks are in there. One is Rick Nelson. His name is real easy to remember, and her name is something Gordy.
This is running right down the...
They're up on Massengale.
Massengale's place now?
Okay. Yeah. That's a Massengale place.
There's a lot of association here. A lot of it runs in the washes. It's all in the wash.
Okay. I think it's Catherine Gordy.
And one thing you will need to be a little more aware of is that in August, Rod Johnson will probably have horses on 143. Until Brent kicked them off, they wanted to run across the corner of his lot with their route.
Across Rod Johnson's or Brent's?
Yep. He made a move when he was out there.
Yeah.
So So it'd be appropriate only to go and talk to those people that are about their permit?
Well, what I was thinking is if the guy could come down maybe the weekend earlier and go over the course he plans with me, because we have sold more lots, and those, like the one that goes up to Dave Cadell, they had it right through his lot, and he has placed barriers there now. I don't think they know we're there, so they're going to have to fix that one a little bit.
Well, that would be good, but we still should get an approval from those people that will be directly impacted by it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We should also, Rod Johnson, if that's encroaching on his property and he wants it not to be, that's, I'm not familiar enough with the course to know everybody that it, who would be bothered by it. Because
did you get a map there?
But, you know, they just sold the Massengill place and it goes down right by Vance's place. I mean, it runs right along the border of Vance's place, and Larry's there, and they just sold 144 to Joe's brother.
What it does, it follows the pipeline that we buried.
Okay.
That's the course they take. It's right up
where the horses used to be. Used to go.
Yeah.
It's a mess there.
That's where we buried the pipeline.
This obviously is something that predated me, so I don't really have an opinion on it. If, you know, you guys decide, I'll follow through with whatever you decide.
One other thing, I don't know what value Phil Hall puts on having that big old scraper out there working on the airstrip, you know, but it's got to be considerable. You guys might want to find out, you know, get his input on what he just did, and, you know, we're assuming that it can be used for that again at this point.
That's what I was thinking, because I noticed that the route goes right down the airstrip.
Well, they're going to camp on it.
Yeah, that's where they stage.
That's a staging area. Low, no impact area right there.
I think if we're going to vote on it, we got to make it conditional on getting the permissions of people that are impacted.
Definitely.
And just spent several thousand dollars having that widened with a huge earth mover.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Better want to call him because when he gets done, they want to make that smooth as a baby's butt out there.
Well, Phil hasn't got the sole rights on the airstrip, though, either. We got to make sure people understand that there's more usage, you know, to the ranch than just...
I mean, you know, we have had, you know, and these people haven't been the source of them, but, you know, now you guys have got a security committee for various reasons that we didn't used to need one for. So, you know... I appreciate at least being included in the discussion this time. Larry, you know about last time.
Sure.
I mean, we didn't even find out about it until it was like, it was there, you know?
And so...
If it's going to go through members' lots, those members all have to be contacted.
It does not go through any members' lots.
It's not routed to go through lots. It definitely is going next to them, and once you have them out there, then you have a pathway for other motorcycles.
It
cuts through the coast.
Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't know that was
it's not all on the road. There's very little of a section on the road.
30-foot egress on every...
But most of it's on...
Well, and you probably should, you know, invoke the same thing you did last time, which was that, you know, if it didn't apparently happen, but the agreement was that if they damaged a road, they'd fix it or pay for it to be fixed.
Yes.
Right, absolutely.
It's a lease.
There were some conditions. It was October of 2005 where you guys discussed that. And, you know, if you want to go back, and I don't know if that audio is still on the website or not, but you can kind of listen about some of the things that happened and didn't happen and concerns and stuff like that.
What were any other problems? Did we have any other problems with them?
No, as Ole stated, Brent thought they, you know, other than that, you know, they're noisy and they're there and,
yeah.
You know, they're kind of, it's just that. You know, there wasn't apparently any problems. I picked up a couple of their marker flags from around my place after they'd been there, those little triangles, little plastic flags that stick in the ground. So, but, you know, they didn't leave a garbage heap.
What did they benefit the ranch?
Barbara said $3,600, give or take.
Yeah, they dropped some... Drops money as far as a single event. It's probably about our best money maker we've had at the ranch.
And you know,
And on the flip side, we had members that when we got the motorcycle up there, they want to know about it. They want to be there. Because it is very entertaining, too. So, I mean, it's got its pros and cons.
I don't have a problem with it as long as they agree, A, to clean up their mess, and it's the same as it was when they left. And if they don't, they have to pay more. And I would say
that's what movie companies have to do.
We make the fine $1,000 if they don't. And I think that we need to notify the members around those lots that are going to be impacted, because they will, because they're going to have access to their lots impacted. You know,
the roads access.
Well, so they need to be notified.
The
and
ones
then,
that are renting the cabins during those times.
And those people
have
need
to be aware.
Those lots too. Those people need to be notified as well.
Okay, put it in the newsletter. That's how we found out last time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad the discussion is going on now, well in advance. I think we could.
You want to include that? Why don't we just include that? When is it going to happen?
Approval.
August
16th. So why don't we just put a copy of this in the newsletter and notify them that way? If we're going to do it.
Linda, are they required? Are they wanting to know something?
And that's
soon?
Notification.
Yeah, they have
to know Monday.
They need to know this Monday.
They don't
need to know this Monday. I told them I'd get back with them on Monday because we were having a board meeting. So I can let them know that it looks like a really good possibility that they can do it, but we have to take it to the membership that are impacted by it.
So if we're going to do it, I think we need to put a copy of that route into the newsletter and notify, and that's good enough notification to everybody.
Larry?
Yeah.
We went over some of this last time. What was their insurance situation?
They're insured. They're insured by Sinise. I don't know all the exact specifics, Vance, but we can find that out from.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys should, as a, you know, as an association.
Yeah,
they are. We are covered. We are covered. They put us as a rider.
They put you on as additional or something.
Paper that they sign.
Okay.
Agrees to.
Yeah, you know, don't forget the little paperwork details.
The cleanup issue, and if they don't clean up, they get $5,000.
They'll have no problem with that.
And just have it written out. Linda, do you think you could come up with something like that for them?
I can. I just need it in writing. If you'll send me email with all that information on it, I can definitely do that.
Hey, Taylor?
Right. Okay.
When Barbara gets back, I'll have her.
Yeah, exactly. You read my mind. Barbara's been through this before.
I'm sure.
Right, exactly. And there may be in file even a contract for them. I just couldn't find a figure.
They sign a contract absolving us of any responsibility?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
If I remember right, we're actually put on the
We have
on
a declaration
the
page on a writer on the declaration.
The there's no risk involved as far as liability to the ranch.
I think this is another opportunity for the ranch to make some money. If the store.
Yes, absolutely.
The store is stocked, and if we can do some catering for them or something.
You get a house here.
We can definitely.
I'll get a wife here.
Do some
the fundraising. Store will be stocked, and you'll make money.
Vance Beck said even during one year, he even said.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. You could sell them pop. You could do like water, Gatorade, whatever. We could really.
Stock the store.
People are
you know, if this motorcycle club knew in advance that there would be a Dutch oven dinner stuff for them,
I have a mobile catering unit for Dutch oven.
Go.
That's what I used to do.
If they do that in advance, we could probably make some money off of it that way. I mean, they come completely, 100% self-contained. But if they knew,
So did they endurance ride, then we cater all the endurance rides. They bring their own stuff, but they know on Saturday night there's going to be a big feed, and they all come to it.
Yeah, if they do in advance, if they have that possibility, they would probably do it.
I would say this could be an opportunity for us to.
You've done it already 4 years. You just will do it again, but I think you should be more sensitive to the people who are more impacted because, like, you know, closer to the headquarters, we've sold, I don't know how many lots have changed hands. You have the DeBalser now. You have the people who bought the Massengills. that thing goes right along Vance's. I think we ought to ask them to move that part of it a little bit further over because they don't need to go right there. They could go.
I think if we're going to vote for it, that needs to be included.
The reason why that went there is because there was already an impact there.
Vance, does it bother you? Would you like them to move that section of it over?
Well, my concern was more with, you know, you camp, Ole, you know the deal. Where would you rather be? If you came to a place and you had to camp and you were told to camp on an airstrip and about, I think at this 800 feet away is some nice trees, where would you rather be?
In August.
What we should do is flag off an area that they're allowed
they
to do.
If they're
outside of that area, they're allowed or fined. How about that?
And I think I remember from the last, you know, and like I say, this is a general security issue. Didn't somebody lose some solar panels last time? And I'm not saying these people are going to do it right while they're there, but, you know, there's such a thing as, you know, people notice stuff, you know?
We can, you know what, we can just as easily camp them by that water spigot out past the water tank in our upper field. They can drive in just as easy. There's a water spigot there.
They'd have to take their bikes and stuff off from there, man. That brake has to start right out of there, which we don't.
Oh, that's where they start.
They camp it right down the airstrip.
I mean, you know, I'm happy you guys are giving some thought to it, and that's all I can ask at this point.
What about the gravel pit?
That's a possibility, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is gravel pit
area.
But it's the water there.
So who's responsible for the write-up on this?
I think
put that in the newsletter.
An optional.
I can include it in my.
Got plenty of space.
Basically, it's just a notification.
It's a notification.
You're away from other people's property.
Linda should do that because she's the one that.
We could even run some portable water down there.
Hey, Ole.
Yeah.
Any goat/livestock issues in the middle of August you're going to have to address?
Well, if they run into a herd of them, they're going to be addressing them. It's pretty hard to herd a goat, but the. No, you know, this year I had three goats hit by members, and two of them came and told me about it, and one of them didn't. So that's just the law of the range. If you have animals on the mountain, they get hit. I don't know who can accidentally hit a bright white goat on a mountain road, but they did. And so... And this year we're going to go up Slide Canyon with the goats, so no one will really see the goats this year, probably throughout the summer.
Good.
They won't be...
The more in Slide Canyon, the better.
It's going to be safer for the goats, and actually Slide Canyon is our biggest fire issue on the ranch. So, I mean, it's the steepest hills with the
densest
foliage.
There's
so... No, I don't think that'll be a problem.
End of airstrip.
Okay.
There's that many people.
Yeah.
Hey, where's that? That's
big trailers, they pull in, pull off.
Okay, so do we need to vote on it or not?
We can break them up. We can have some people park down at the gravel pit.
They'll want to be together
together. You guys have got time, okay? You know, he just needs an answer. You know, and I'm gratified to hear you.
Yeah, later.
You know, keep us in the loop is what I'm asking us, to the people who butt right up against us.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, yes. So let's say yes conditionally.
Oh. Yes, and it might not hurt this year to have me go out and give them an orientation right off the bat and get them all together.
I would love that because they were already laying out the course when Brent encountered them on Rod Johnson's lot.
Right, and I think that if we – I'll just get with the guy who's in charge and say before anybody does anything, everybody needs to come together. That way I can turn around and say right behind us is a private lot situation. Don't go over there and don't mess around with it. I can go through the whole littering thing. You probably should do your, you could assess them $5 a piece of trash we find if that's what you want to do with the, what they leave behind. But, it sounds to me like they haven't been told exactly what the requirements were. Dave Cadell's big complaint was, is he wasn't notified either. And, they came right, there's a turn right at his place and the turn goes down. Apparently everybody missed it and went right through his place. But he's built a substantial embankment now. If they go over that, Anyway, but I think just a good orientation. I mean, it's a moneymaker. There are people that have been respectful of the ranch. There's no reason to turn them away. But let's just make sure we don't trample on any members' feelings, because after all, it's the members' ranch.
Ollie, I'm going to have him contact you and even suggest that he come down beforehand to know exactly where to go.
He'll make two or three trips down before the raid.
They have to come out of the course anyway. Linda, just give him my number, the cell number, and tell him to stop in and see me before, because I'd be happy to go out and go over the course with him and
I will.
Chat with him at length, and I'll make sure that it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Hey, Ollie?
Uh-huh.
Give him a map. We got plenty.
The pretty laminated ones?
No, you're going to want to draw on it, I think.
The photocopy one.
No, just give them a, there's bare paper ones up there.
Paper ones,
yeah.
Use a dry erase marker.
No, you're going to want to make notes, you know, that's the best way to keep them, you know, off of things.
Frank's got lots of maps of the ranch he was involved
in. I got a ton of maps in my container, Brent knows how to get in.
Okay.
We really have that.
Get okay.
All right, check.
Kicking a dead dog is too much here.
Okay.
You seconded and passed it, or?
Yeah. I don't think we need to take a vote. We just discuss it and move on. I don't know if there's anything else on there.
The only other things that are not on there.
Are we going to do it or not?
I think we should
do it. I think we should take a vote on it. I think it'd be the best.
Okay. Well, we need a vote.
I think it'd be the best thing to do.
Okay. I motion that we have, we approve for the race this August, but we need to make sure the membership is aware of it and that their needs and wants are addressed with the club that's holding the event, and that they'll clean up after themselves.
The insurance policy is in place.
And everything's all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. Linda, can you have Frank, actually, if he wants to get a hold of Ollie to check the areas of the course, and then also if he'll just call me so I can just go over with him and get a copy of the insurance and everything we need to?
I will do that.
Okay. Thank you. He's
a member. But this race has been a member.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
How about an adjustment for inflation? How about making some more money off the damn thing if we got to host it?
I think there's. This is the only race actually where they have to pay to ride. So I mean, these riders haven't got money.
I think what they do is they pay. It's like $5 per rider or something, and so depending on how
just
most of our money. We were making on store sales and other things. We made a fee from the race itself, but cabin rentals and all that other stuff. I don't even know. Linda, did he give you any details on what they paid or didn't pay or whatever?
No, actually, it was pretty vague. He just said, you know, we'd go with what we did last time, if that's all right. And I said, well, I don't know what you did last time. And he said,
shouldn't we be able to look back at the record and see the receipt from that last year?
Yeah, but I didn't know where to look. I was going to ask Barbara where to look. So.
Well, of course they're going to say, let's go with last year's.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it was 2 years ago.
You know, asking an individual rider for $10 instead of $5, poof, you know, big deal.
And I didn't agree with anything. I just said I'd check and see what's going on and get back to him.
Kind of like the rodeo circuits. You get points. You know,
right.
And most times they're not coming back.
Yeah,
so
but
they're paying
a fee.
But they can't afford to pay a big fee and go to race.
Come on, you guys. Happy green. $5 is nothing. Not that kind of money to have those kind of
deals. With their spring, we can't afford to assess one.
Yeah.
These are amateur. They're just Joe Blow's people in these clubs, and they haven't got a lot of money.
Well, the clubs also put on these races so that they can make money.
Well, they're required to put on these races. That's part of their responsibility. Different riding clubs throughout the.
I'll tell you what, I would feel comfortable if you go with the whatever you've done in the past this year, I'll meet them, find out just exactly what is going on and, you know, what their funds are available, how much they like coming back. And next year we might can squeeze them a little if it's an option. And if we're being fair with them now, I mean, we'll come to something fair. I don't know them. I race AERC, which is the same thing. It's the equivalent on horseback, and I know how they run. You pay a fee. Somebody manages the ranch. They arrange for the place. And there's not a lot of money really in it. It's more of a club enjoyment thing. But
they love this race.
I know they like being on private ground because the paperwork getting on Forest and BLM is so much with us. They get to come, pay us some money, and go. That's much easier for them. And if they're regular customers, you know, treat them good. There may be some we want to have back.
They love this ride. I mean, there's so much different
varieties. Probably ought to be something that you bring up at the annual meeting this year, though, to the membership to say, you know, do you want motorcycle races here or not? Because it's really boils down to principle in the end. This is just a venue that we've had. But if the people want it, continue it. If they don't,
Some of them love it, some of them hate it. I mean, we've got members like Sonny and Sadie. I mean, I've had that race. Book me a cabin. I want to be there, you know.
NASCAR's next.
And then others like John want to join in a race too, huh?
I'll probably. We've got probably 10 members that ran it last time.
Well, there you go.
I know Linda's going to need to know if we were going to do the idea of taking a cabin out of rotation for the year. She's going to need to know pretty early for the booking.
If you are, take 4.
I am getting, 4 is what I would take. I am getting requests right now. A lot of people.
But my opinion says I don't think it's worth it. Take it out for full season. Take it out for 2 weeks.
Take it out till the repairs are complete.
Maybe.
Maybe
so.
You can go through and find out.
Full season, I don't think it's a cabin up there.
So then what should we block it off for a period of X amount of months or X amount of weeks?
We may not have to take it out at all. If the ground thaws up there and we can get up there and take care of it before the season opens, we can do that. I mean,
what's the official season?
I wouldn't start.
Labor
Day to Memorial Day is basically what it is. They kill it off at Thanksgiving.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, some cabins you need people out there for a period of time.
Four has got to be worked on before you put people back in there because it smells like you stepped into a propane tank when you go through the door. The fridge has a bungee cord on it. And,
So do I need to open, because the calendar is open now in May, so do I need to open 4 later, say in June, or do you think you can finish that?
I also think that we should be...
Well, don't put anybody in 4 right off.
Let's block it off, and if we get it done before, we can open it back up.
You can open it as soon as we're done.
I also like the idea of let's concentrate a certain amount of funds for our cabin repairs. Once a year as an upgrade, so we can do things, so we can get off our dependence of having continual big propane bills for the heaters and the refrigerator, and go with solar system for lighting and refrigeration. Or for water heating and those types of things, and concentrate and just do one cabin a year. And that's an upgrade. And eventually, we'll have them all done. And those bills, we'll only use a propane for cooking.
In that regard, you should start with the garden cabin because it's the most used during the season and it has the largest capacity. But, you'd save a bunch on gas if they use the heaters by insulating. Obviously, the wind blows right under it. But we've already talked about 9 and 10 have got to be skirted, too, because...
Yeah, doing things like skirt. We should make a list of all the improvements and fixes and things we should do. Target
Linda
a cabin.
Did. Linda did. I have a copy of the list she went
and then,
to. I
and
don't
then
know
also
if Linda did, but she gave it to me.
Add upgrades, too, that are going to save us money.
In the long run.
In the long run, over a period of time. And I think that's something we should do. And it'll make them safer and cheaper for us to run.
And more energy efficient.
That's right. I mean, there's just no need to not.
Propane's going to continue to go up. The cost of delivery, the cost of fuel.
You need to reflect that in the assessments of the cabins because they are going up, and the assessments don't...
I think we've stretched that as much as we can for this year, but... Maybe
it's not the assessments. What is it when someone goes in the cabins? The fee?
The reservation fee?
Yeah, that's got to start reflecting
We've upped some things this year that, for next year, they're going to be okay, but maybe we'll think about it in 2009.
Yeah, we're not raising no cash outlay directly, but indirectly we are because of the...
Linens and other things. So we don't want to move too fast and make everybody crazy. But I think that's what we should do is we should target a cabin and say that cabin is due for some upgrades and some improvements. And that way, at least we'll get one done a year.
Hey, something that they should consider would, from a manager's point of view, would be easier. When I got a reservation, it had a red, blue, or green dot by it, meaning green is the works. We want linens. We want the firewood stock and the whatever. And if you had the, blue, say, we want to bring all our own stuff. We don't want any services. They didn't want to come out. And I knew it was that kind of a reservation and make it easier for me because I know there are members who are going to want the linens they expect and everything right up to snuff. I'm happy to do it. If they don't, there's nothing more frustrating when they bring their own stuff and take all of our stuff and just push it off on the floor. Now, that's not going to be an issue because we don't
you won't be there.
Standard stock. But if you had just a 3-degree break over, so when Linda took the reservation, she says, now, do you want it
stocked
or not
stocked?
That would help.
I would just work it out. If I were you, I'd just work it out.
I'll that up with Linda because between she and I, he takes the reservations and I service them. But because some people still want the services, and we know what it costs for a green dot or a red dot or a blue dot, then no one's ever going to get offended by how the ranch is set up.
I'd work it
they
out.
They get what they want.
Work that system with Linda.
As far as the cabin, get back to the cabin reservations and take the one offline. Are you going to make the motion, or do you want me to make
well,
the motion?
Well, we decided not to. So
we're not going
to
take four off this year.
Very early well, I would think it would be a good idea maybe take four off for the first 2 or 3 weeks.
We'll just let Linda know right now. You don't have to vote on it. Just Linda, don't rent that one until we give you the green light on it because we do have to do some stuff. That's
oh yeah. Oh okay, but I you know the calendar is up, and so give me a date. We will open that in the middle of May, right, or towards the end of May. I can't remember. I've got it already.
Calendar. So just block it off.
And so could I take cabin 4 to June 16th?
Just block it off.
If we get it, if it's all right earlier, then you can just open it up.
Yeah.
I think you could start taking reservations beginning June 15th.
Okay. That's what I'll do.
We'll tell you if it's sooner than that.
We don't know.
And you'll tell me what? Sooner than that? Sooner is good. Okay.
First. We're close to July weekend. June 15th is still too early, I think.
You think?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there.
On 4?
Yeah.
I mean, carrying a refrigerator in
there's decking, there's all kinds, there's, well, that's got the one that does have a good fire pit. But
there's a roof leak that comes in over the fireplace in cabin 4?
And I mean, the roof is supposed to be replaced in
at
January,
most
right?
A day.
Yeah, but that doesn't also prohibit it from getting open. I mean, you can open it without the lemon trim. All we need is the AmeriGas guy to come in and sniff. And find where our leaks are. He did a great job on the garden cabin. He came in and there were like 7 leaks.
Where's our sniffer?
We don't do any
we have a sniffer. I have it, and I tried to get Jerry to run it. And
getting any upgrade on that.
I figure if Jerry can't run it, nobody can. He read the whole manual and tried to make it work.
At one time, they didn't have the right charger power unit. To
that
work.
Could be it. I have it at the...
Okay, we spent...
Hey,
Larry?
We just need to sniff that, put a fridge back in, and solve our septic issue, and it'll be good to go. It's, we're not talking about
we're gonna have to
a lot of work. The AmeriGas guy says he does all the leak finding or fixing anyway, so that's not something we can do. The septic we started on this year,
we don't have a list.
All that pretty quick, and the fridge is just installed.
Get a quote from
a week. A week could do it.
Solar guy.
I say James.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, I think if we just block it out indefinitely, then we're not going to get possibly you just go in there and concrete it done and get open back up.
And number 4 is slow anyway.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people rent it.
Yeah, it's not very big.
Hey, Vance, you started to say something?
Yeah, I've got gas detectors up the yin-yang. I didn't know you guys had these issues.
Which issue?
Well, when you're up next, maybe you and I could just go up and try.
You bet. You bet. And I realize that liability-wise, AmeriGas needs to make the repairs, but if it's just a a jam nut on a piece of brass tubing, we can fix that.
Right. In the garden cabin, it ended up being the fixtures, the little propane lights. Some of them wouldn't quite turn off, and then the stove was leaking gas.
Yeah.
But, and it is one of the fixtures in four. We stayed in that before.
Two things we could do, Vance, if you come out. We could go sniff that, and then you could take the sniffer we have and kind of help me.
Yeah, I depend. Well, I'll look at what you got. I suspect you got one of them orange ones with the deal. It looks like a microphone sticking out of it.
Yep, that's exactly what we
got. Yeah, I know what those are.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a good one.
I know what they are. Pretty good job. You just got to get them to work.
Okay, I've got it at the ranch house.
So we
just the CGI. I guess.
Yeah. You don't need any motion. Just move on.
So are we done?
Yeah. One more thing, Larry.
Yes, sir.
You guys kind of stepped around the issue of the upper water system, and it sounds to me like you're going to just wait and see what happens. But what is your plan B if spring rolls around and you're still contaminated?
That's what my concern is. Thank you.
Transport water.
When are the test kits supposed to be in?
I personally think it's going to be the problem.
I know, and I understand that, but what if at Memorial Day, whatever it is you want to open up, you are still contaminated? What are you going to do?
You know what we want to
do? Look into one of these bladders.
We don't have much option. We have to transport water to get water up there for.
But Brad's supposed to be getting all those test kits. He was going to test it since we got it, so we should know if it's spring. You know,
since
he can get up, back up there, so.
Well, we need
okay,
to
well the reason
now,
I bring it up is while you guys were talking, I went and started looking for little chlorinators. They're about $1,000. Just keep it in mind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is we'll treat it rather than haul water. I mean, you
right.
Can water. It's better to treat it if we have to.
Okay, well, just keep it in the back of your minds if you have to go that way.
Okay.
Not the Clorox.
Or we're buying a whole
yeah,
bunch
we,
of
Yeah, we do need to do something, though, because those notes we put on the counters got swept off, and if someone, you know, opens the door, the paper flies off the counter, and people drink the water and sue us, we're...
I know. You're just touching the tip of the iceberg there. Exactly right.
So, we need to either solve it or close them, but having them in there and not...
Brent's on speakerphone. He'll talk to you about the water test.
Can you hear us, Brent?
Yeah, I'm still trying to clear up this thing with the people. I ordered the kits, test kits. They said they sent them. They charged my credit card. I never got the kits, and I've been going back and forth with them. And so I still haven't either gotten the kits or got a resolution from them on that. So I'm going to, I can either reorder them, or I can wait till this thing gets resolved.
I can help you resolve that. Give me your credit card number and I'll call
you. I'll take it. My wife.
My Social Security number is BR549. Go ahead, use that.
Well,
just so we test it now and see what's happening, because that's what my concern is that we're going to get to spring and it's not going to be good.
Huh?
We're just saying that we ought to go ahead as quick as we can and get those test kits and do a test and see if it is, in fact, the spring, and then move forward. Did we ever get the little hole patch that Joe Bose was worried about?
Yeah, it's filled in.
Okay.
We need to ice
them. Let me see what I can do. I will, let me, when I get home, I'll get back online and see if I can get this squared away. And one way or another, I'll get something ordered and on its way.
Okay.
And we can go from there.
Super good. Have you heard anything on the propane fridges from AmeriGas?
I have not.
Okay. I'll ask about that again also. There was a couple of things your name was on, but I think we resolved everything.
Newsletter article.
Oh, can you do some kind of an article for our newsletter, too, from your... Full-time
I completely spaced that. I'll do that this evening.
If you can do that and email it to Vance Green, he's compiling everything for us.
Okay, I can do that.
Super good. Anything else for Brent?
Tell Taylor I'm wearing the same stuff I was wearing earlier.
All right, we'll tell him.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Brent.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, anything else we need to go over?
I think that's it.
Okay, again, the next meeting will be January 19th at the Cedar City Library at 9:30 a.m.
Any questions about that, guys?
Hey, one thing. And if I can't get it going, I will notify everybody and we'll have to come up with alternate.
One thing that must be discussed before we end is my contract.
Where is the contract?
First month?
Well, they gave me this contract. Can I give you a brief history of where we are on the contract? They gave me this contract, which I used to read my responsibility on. Bob Becker. I was concerned about it when I first got it because it's an independent contractor, I needed it set in the contract that I am not liable for anything that happens on that ranch unless it is directly connected to the horse rides for which I insure my own self, right? So they gave me another one. He took it and fixed it, and we did another one. I signed that contract.
Yes.
And two of those contracts. One of them up by Meadow Canyon with you in your truck that night with the goat lease and whatnot.
Okay. All right. And then my understanding was with that one was it was given to Bob later that night or the next
day.
We
go down to the meeting the next, very soon after that, and I handed both of those. I thought it was to Linda. She doesn't have it. To either Bob or Ken Lent or Linda was fine.
Communicator.
Hello. Then the next board meeting, we don't have your contract. And I said, well, I kept my contract. I signed two of them. I kept one for me, and I had given them one. So at the next board meeting, I brought that one, and I said, I don't have a copy. Please copy this and give this back. I didn't get that back. Now, if they're saying they don't have one now, I've given both my copies away. I am not opposed to signing another one. I mean, it's a very simple contract. I have no problem with it. But this is the old one. I need a contract to reflect that I am not liable for someone walking out in the pasture and getting kicked by a ranch horse or getting pecked in the eye by a ranch chicken or, you know, those are things that are on the ranch. If it's not directly associated with me taking a horse and putting people on a horse, you know,
that's
not me.
Insurance.
That needs to be in the contract, and I'll sign another one. So what I'm saying is I will take this contract to Linda today with this stuff, or I'll give it to you. She can make that adjustment to the contract. I'll sign it and put it back in her hands just as soon as she wants to do that. But I need the contract that they fixed for me to sign, not this old one.
Well, we need a new contract for 2008 anyway, right?
Then I'll
type it up, you know, for sure.
Bob Becker.
Well, he should still have that stuck in his computer, you think.
Well, I think this is the one he gave me. I would like the amended one.
Uh-huh. Well, he doesn't still have that.
If I need to do a 2008 contract, then let me get with Linda, and we can take this one, or he can fax over his, whatever, fix it, sign it, and then you'll have one. I also want you to make sure you have a copy of the goat lease on file, so I'm not the only one who holds that. And I'll give that to Linda. Does that sound good to you? Okay. Linda, I will be seeing you at some point.
Okay.
And you know what I think on our way back through, I'll just bring you this stuff rather than give it to Larry. Are you going to be home today?
I am here. If I'm not here, call me on the phone. You'll find me.
All right.
No baby yet?
No baby yet.
The only reason I need to do that is I need to explain some of these things from Blue Ox Trucking Company. I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory. One thing on there that isn't on there is at the end we owed Alan $506.
Yes.
He came and got a cow as per Larry's instructions, which I don't think Larry documented and I didn't when I gave him the cow.
When he took the cow, when we first talked about it, he was going to take our calves and one coal cow.
Right.
And he never got that one.
Right.
So I came back. We owed him $500-some-odd. He said, I'll go ahead and get the cow.
Okay.
The cow weighed more than
$500.
Right.
The cow ended up being a little bit more than we owed him, so he gave us a culvert that we wanted, and so we're all square. Now, I don't know how you want to put that down on paper, but anyway, I'll explain that when I come. Let's not take more time here. I have a fistful of receipts for you, and I'll just come by and give them to you.
Okay.
From me, we talked about Alan's moving his trailer. oh, I have to have a signed, it says in my contract, I have to have signed from the board the right to delegate any of my responsibilities to someone. And where I have Linda do a lot of things, I need something from the board that says I can delegate responsibility to other folks.
I think we are hiring you as the ranch manager to be like the list we went through with Taylor. You're responsible for that list. If you want to get Taylor to do half of it and her to do half of it,
okay,
and Brent Fulmer to do half of it.
Well, just as in my contract, you can't delegate any responsibility without written permission from the board.
Well,
I'm a contractor, shall not assign any of his or her rights.
You're not the guy with the responsibility of yours. You're the guy with the work part of it. You're still responsible.
Okay. Delegate.
I mean, you can't physically. You can say, okay, that's not my problem. I delegated to Linda, so you got to go to her. No.
Yeah.
We still go to you.
Okay.
If it doesn't get done, we're coming to you. No matter who you get
it done
by. Don't
worry about
that. Does that make sense?
Vehicle, we have none, but we have, you're going to tell him to put a motor in the truck. And I've got the gray truck going in. Water heater, we just took care of. The ranch agreed with me to feed those horses through the year. So that starts at the beginning of whatever the next season is. And then I understand from last meeting, that's all on me now. Ranch doesn't have anything to do with it and doesn't care about it.
That's right.
I charge what I want, and if I want to abandon the horse project, I can if I want.
It's up to you.
Okay. Because if I squinch the numbers down to 8 or 10 horses, that's basically the ranch is done with the horse program as of the beginning of this next season.
Yep.
That's all I need to know, and I'm perfectly happy with that. I think that's better. I don't know how it'll be to the members, but that's up to them. But, you know, there are people who don't use the program. The ones who do should pay for it.
Okay. I got a question here, though. I think as a board, though, work out a few, I think we've got to have a limit of amount of horses that
to
start on the ranch.
20.
That's
the limit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I understand. If it's going to go on me, how many can I bring you? You know what, I don't...
Because the ranch is still, in the summertime...
Still feeding them.
It's feeding those animals. Like this year, see...
I actually...
We were locked out... Our cows were locked out of the meadow. In a sense, you know?
Right. Well, the cows were locked out.
Well, Brent Robinson's cows was... And see, in the past, we had a contract with Brent Robinson for feed too, and we didn't honor Brent Robinson's contract either last year because we weren't able to honor that contract.
My intentions, with the horses is not to get is actually I mean if in the situation that it is now when I was first brought there I was told more like Bryce Canyon trail ride, so I brought a lot of horses. It isn't quite like that. I mean, they certainly have a demand. They rode them a lot, but I can bring the numbers way down. And I don't have any intentions of raising horses at Deer Springs Ranch. I'm going to get rid of everything I don't need. So numbers aren't going to go up. They're going to go down. And they're going to go down and down until I meet what I can afford. Because this year I'm going to be way in the hole. I spent every dime we made on horses feeding them up till now. We're going into the winter. It's not really a money-making venture. It's a lot of work. And I'll have them there, but it'll be much more limited. I'm not pushing a work program. If they want to ride them, all they have to do is call and say, we'll make sure we have, you know, 8 or 10 horses to ride. But I'm not going to keep a whole string around. I mean, that's what I used to do, and I can't do everything. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify because I wasn't there. I got the word.
Exactly.
But new season, cut the horse program loose. You're happy with that, President? Okay.
I got a question on a different leasing or different grazing concern is goats. When our lease agreement that you have worked out, is there a limit to number of goats?
Under 1,000 head, the lease starts at the end of branch, which is technically next fall, whenever. I don't know, are we going to cut him loose for the season? Or?
I got another question. You guys realize, since we cut Brent Robinson's lease, we're going to lose our permits?
No,
We have our own cows, but we can have our permits.
It won't work. It won't fly. Our cows don't graze long enough. And we haven't got enough cows to even start to fill the graze. We're going
to
lose them.
You're not required to graze your entire permit.
Well, no.
Oh, and
But we haven't. We went in, even with breast cows, we've been about a third of what we're
well,
going to go on with. So
right now, the monument, Clay, the guy I work with, they would be thrilled if we took a non-use for like 5 years. Well, you can file a non-use and say, we have them, but we don't want to use them because our permit looks like crap. And my recommendation is, you know, to just
our permit file a non-use. Our permit has been the best on any of them. So, I mean, you got to consider that. If you don't lose, you're going to lose.
Yeah, but they don't just take them from you. You go in, you file a non-use for 5 years and say, our permit's in bad shape, we don't want to use them.
Well, I think
they're happy.
I think we need to look into it, though, because you get different comments. Like the Grand Canyon Trust, they bought up all their folks' permits with the idea of getting rid of them. They found out different. The government's making them use them. Sure, we'll let you cut your hair down a little bit, but if you don't use them, we're going to give them to somebody that will, and they'll do the exact same thing.
I'll tell you
or that somebody that will retire them.
They'll give them to somebody
I'll
else.
Tell you what, for the next board meeting, I will come here with the word from the bird. I know her pretty good. Anyway, I'll go in and say, this is where we're at. We have a small cattle herd. We don't have a blade of grass out in the areas we're supposed to. We've had terrible drought. Now, this year, maybe we've gotten some snow. Who knows what it'll look like next year. If they force us to use them, we'll lease them again. That's no big deal. But I'll tell you what, if it was my personal property, I would do everything I could to file a non-use and to give that dadgum ground a break.
They've had a break for the last five to six years. We have not, our leases, we have not really...
Well, it's given a reduced or a break according to the AUMs that were there originally, but they went in, took our AUMs and cut them way down, and then they still recommended that we not feed or graze.
They have not recommended that. We have personally done it ourselves. They have never...
Well, our AUMs...
We've been doing it ourselves. BLM hasn't had to step in and manage our range for us because we've been doing it ourselves.
Right.
But now, if the drought, and if we overuse it, yeah, they're going to step in and start doing it. But right now, they haven't. They haven't had to,
but we have a 200-head AUM out there, and if we put 200-head on it, I mean, he put whatever he put last year on it, and those cows were wandering around for the last 2 months. Then he left them on us for a whole month extra than he was supposed to. Just take a walk out there. It doesn't take long before you just, and I'm talking areas where there were no horses, no goats, no nothing, only cows, and it's like walking across the Sahara. And maybe I'm not used to desert permits of this nature, but if our ranch here looked like, or if the area I came from looked like this, they would shut the permit down and hold it until something grew there. I mean, our crested wheatgrass that needs at least one season to seed out and drop hasn't had a chance to blow its own seed for how long?
This is Linda. I'm checking out, guys. Thank you. I'll see you when you come through town.
Okie doke. Anyway, that's just something I
will... Well, we definitely need to follow up.
Yeah, I mean,
next board meeting, I will come next board meeting with word from them. I'll explain our situation, and let me just clarify it to you. Our situation is we have 20 cows. We have a permit that has not had a lot of water on it in a long time. We'd like to let the grass have a season where it can get up and blow its seeds around. So I know they'll give you up to 5 years non-use, but I'll find out if there's anything that can hurt our permits by filing them, how long we can file a non-use for. And anyway, I'll get the rundown on it.
I've got some questions on this yet, though, Ole. I mean, we got range at the Deer Springs. We got our own personal range acreage will more than cover our cows and 20-30 head more cows, not counting the BLM, not counting our BLM permits. So even if we're never going to use those permits unless we lease them out.
You're talking in a good year or last year?
In almost any year. Last year was...
Last year.
But should we lease them out next year or this year?
I'm going to argue with you on your goat and sheep, and I'll argue forever. They create a lot of damage up there. But that's beside the point. Even if next year is a beautiful year, our cow herd is never going to use our permits. Our cows, if they're out on Deer Springs Point right now, up to the head of it right there, That's the first time they've ever been out there. Our cows never have ever left the ranch.
They've been standing for a month and something with their heads in the dirt wondering where their feed's going to go.
What I'm saying is, though, our cows have never grazed BLM ground until this fall. That's the first time they've ever left ranch, Deer Springs Ranch, personal, private property.
Why do you think they did it?
Looking for feed.
That's right. There's not an ounce of feed on the ranch.
Okay, what I'm saying is, though, I'm going to say your goats and horses ate a lot of it. But what I'm saying, even excluding that, even if we get a lot of storm, where those cows will never leave the ranch, because we've got, on any even a poor year,
you don't
there's more feed on that ranch to feed 20 head of cows, up to 50 head
sure.
of cows
sure.
On Deer Springs Ranch. Personally,
you don't think we should
okay.
give her at least a year's rest?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that, but
because if
but I'm saying is, though, we
go
cannot
Fly
look.
Canyon, they're going to be over here. There's going to be nothing on the main drag. You're going to have the riding horses in the upper pasture. I would tell you, with all the root crowns that you have of the native grasses and the planted grasses, if you'd give them 1 year to fully head out, seed and blow, the returns in the next 10 years are going to be so far ahead than if you put another load of cows on.
Well, I'm not arguing that point. What I'm trying to stress is that we cannot do away with the grazing program unless we want to lose our permit.
Okay, but we
nobody's
can't.
Ever
but do we have to do it every
well,
year?
What I'm saying, no, but you're going to start leasing out your permit. You're going to have a contract. What I'm saying is your goats, what kind of agreement we got with your goats? I mean, is there any monetary value to the ranch on those? So we're giving.
Why
did
the goats come there in the first place?
If we're not, then we're giving up our grazing. Sure, Brent Robinson hasn't been a big fee. We're making $3,000 a year, but now we're going to lose that much, and we're not replacing it with nothing.
You oh, that's a subject that should be brought up.
That's some kind of
you can make
yeah.
you can make what you get on the lease of your cattle up in one good hunt if you want to take. What you ought to do is put those, if you want to make money off your ground, put the Barbados sheep in there and shoot them off at $1,000 a head. The museum up on at Bryce Canyon has asked me that two or three times. He says, I have hunters all day long. They'll shoot those big Barbados sheep for two hunts would pay more than we get on our grazing. And the grazing is cow pies at the lakes, cow pies everywhere you go, what we take up in cost benefit from those cows wallowing all over the ranch every year to having something else that could make more money easily.
I thought our kind of our plan was that not to do away with the grazing, but to expand our herd and start using the BLM for our cattle.
Yeah.
And take our cattle impact off of our private.
We haven't had an impact on the ranch. We haven't. Our cows haven't impacted the ranch.
I'd beg to differ with that.
They haven't. Not until they
and
hear.
It's not because
no.
it's not because of them.
How much history? How much history have you had at Deer Springs Ranch?
One really horrible year.
Okay.
With cows that look like skeletons.
That's the first year that's happened to us.
Brent told me that Brent Robinson's cows have not been off before Christmas in the last however many.
And when he's left, we still had lots of grass.
You can walk around it now.
There's not. I know there's not.
And when I got there in the spring, I asked a number of times, I said, is the grass ever grow? Now, I realize no water fell out of the air. That's a major player. But I specifically, I've taken Larry and other people to places where there's been no goats, no horses, no nothing, and there's no grass. And I went to Brent, and Brent says it's the same here. We went over to the Lefebvre Ranch on the other side. All they've run is cattle there, flat as a pancake. It was the backhoe would dig a hole where Brent's father said, generally you find water in the first couple of feet. They were down 6-8 feet and just as dry as they were on the surface. This is a bad year to compare, probably.
It is.
But I know that it isn't going to hurt the ranch to rest it a little bit. And I think by the time that the rate at which your cow herd increases that you have will give the rest adequate that as it comes up, provided you get water, so the ranch will meet the rest.
Well, and I think members, I've had requests from members over the past 5-10 years saying we don't want cows on the ranch, meaning if we're going to continue with cows, they've got to be pushed out into the BLM. They don't want them around the private lot. They don't want
them
around
I thought we had agreed that the whole idea, the reason why we're going to not do Brent Robinson's leases, we're going to build our own herd because we're making more money off it.
I think that the
and
rate
manage
at which
it that way
will grow will be just about adequate for what the rent.
And then I also think
rent.
we should be doing some other things. So there were some other ideas to increase the habitat, make things better, do some more irrigation. I know on a previous ranch that my family owned, we would irrigate back pasture, and it would bring in animals from all over, everywhere, and it would be a big thing. And there's other things. Like I've talked with Vance about, you know, that there's that irrigation area that, you know, the reservoirs and stuff. We can clean some of those out, spend some money. To build some other things.
Water we hold.
There's so many of those things.
Water.
We're not
going to do surface stuff, but
and then another thing too is I've been looking. The federal government will give all kinds of money and grants if we spend money to increase.
They do a lot of matching.
There's a lot of matching funds
that
and
was
even
the first
even
thing
increased
I said when
funds.
I came here, and that's what I
we could
put in the
if we want to go through the paperwork, we could make a ton of money in grants. On our property from federal wildlife grants, there's tons of money out there that's waiting to be spent.
But there's a lot of ropes to drink time, especially when you're an association. If you're a
sure
private individual, it's a lot easier. If you're an association, we've listened to a lot of those, and it is almost next to impossible to get that grant money because we are a nonprofit organization, you know, so
it takes somebody full-time to just go through all the paperwork and hassle to get
it. And it is a hassle. But even if we're not going to even go that way, I think it's worth it for us to spend money on doing things like doing some more irrigation.
The water back down from Half Moon to the pasture area.
Do some more irrigation. Do some more of those.
Some of that water I really think we have to do something with because at some point somebody's going to say, well, you're not using it.
More irrigation, more catch ponds, all those things.
I don't have anything else to say, but I think we should make an effort to give the place a rest.
I agree. I mean,
we've got the cow herd. We plan to expand it, keep our heifer calves next year. We agreed to sell them this year, which we did. We had some good calves. But if we keep our calves, I think at about the rate that they come up, the land will have rested. I think it will just about match. However, we still have to consider what we're going to do in the winter if we get too big because we got a winter that many.
Well, you can't. We lost all the money this year that we brought into the cows based by the hay for this winter. We lost profit for a couple of years off of this for one winter.
I don't know how much money it makes, but it's worth keeping them because you don't want to do nothing and then lose them. But at the same time, you know, the ranch only takes so much.
My ride is here.
Okay, anything else before we officially adjourn? Good to go at Cedar City next time.
Yeah.
Appreciate you doing that, Scott.
No problem.
I'll give this to Linda.
I think Linda or Barbara, because I think Barbara, Barbara mentioned it somewhere around
any questions about it.
Peter will know where that
parallel is. This is the first time I've ever done any.
Brent said write down what we need.
That's why I found it interesting that I was
Barbara
the secretary. But
rugs and cats.
Right.
We don't want just little grow rugs like we got out there because that's about
to
work.
Okay. Okay. Well, if nothing else, I'll make a motion that we adjourn. Anybody second?
I'll second that.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Yep.
Okay.